Coming up next on This Week in Google, it's me, Jason Howell, filling in for Leo Laporte, who is somewhere on a cruise. Have fun, Leo. I'm also joined by Jeff Jarvis, Stacey Higginbotham, and Ann Pruitt. And what do you know? We've got a bunch of Google news to actually talk about this week. We've got AR glasses being beta tested. We've got Google with a hiring freeze in effect. Pixelbooks apparently on the horizon. And then Chrome OS Flex for converting like computers that aren't running Chrome OS into Chrome OS devices. And then, of course, yes, we've got non-Googly news like the opening of AI, OpenAI to the public, Netflix's second bad quarter, and a video game with cats that's making real cats very happy. All that and more coming up next on This Week in Google.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is TWiG. This Week in Google, episode 673, recorded Wednesday, July 20th, 2022. Swipe right for schmuck. This episode of This Week in Google is brought to you by HPE GreenLake, orchestrated by the experts at CDW, who can help you consolidate and manage all your data in one flexible edge-to-cloud platform to scale and innovate. Learn more at cdw.com/HPE. It's time for TWiG, This Week in Google. I'm like envisioning like the title cards going, This Week in Google, coming towards the camera. We need to make that happen with the new logo art that you've surely already seen in your podcatcher of choice. I'm Jason Howell, filling in for Leo Laporte, who is hopefully not getting seasick on a cruise with a bunch of other TWiT fans and Lisa and Paul Thurrott is there as well. There we go. So they're having a great time. I'm planning on having a great time here with the TWiG fam, starting with Jeff Jarvis. He is the Leonard Tow Professor for Journalistic Innovation at the... There we go. Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York. Welcome, Jeff. Good to see you.
Given the new logo, I think we should start off like this.
Yes, right. Hands up, everybody. Hands up. Yes, I love it. Talk to the hand.
Of course, good call. But in doing that, smartass, I pulled my earpiece out right here.
That's what you get. That's what you get. Good to see you, Jeff. Also joining us, it's Stacey Higginbotham from Stacey on IoT. Welcome, Stacey.
Welcome back, Stacey.
Yeah, so back. Good to be back.
Oh, that's right. Oh, so... I've got you in the dock last week, but that's right. You weren't in the dock last week because you were
sorry
not there.
That must have been an unpleasant surprise.
No. It was just the page from last week, but I had obviously not updated it. That's right. You were out, and it's great to have you back. You were gone 2 weeks in a row, in fact, right?
Yep. I was.
And now you're ready to talk Google. Welcome back.
Good to have you. I'm so excited about Google this week. There's so much news.
There really is. Yes. And we're going to talk all about it. We actually have a good amount of Google news so we can keep true to the name of this show for a change. Also joining us, it's Ann Pruitt, hands-on photography and, you know, maintainer of Club TWiT and all other things. Welcome, Ann.
Hello, sir. How you be, Mr. Howe?
I'm doing all right. I had a little bit of a bumpy start with my audio interface not working, but I think I've smoothed that out and good to go. And it's good to see your face. Not in the office, though, this week, but that's okay.
Likewise, sir. Likewise.
Yeah. You know, this
it'll
is
be fun.
If you're supposed to have everybody be virtual, if one person is virtual, that's like the way you're
that's
supposed to run virtual meetings. So this is
okay.
Perfect.
So ta-da. It works out. All right. It works out. We're finally learning the etiquette of Zoom. I'm doing this online.
None of us are learning etiquette.
Yeah. Not on this show.
We're rude on this show.
Yeah.
That's
what makes it appealing. Well, it's good to see you all, and it's good to be able to join you on such a Google-heavy week. Where do you all want to start? Because I see at the top is Netflix, but if we've got a lot of Google, why don't we start with Google Glass? Because there's not a whole lot to this story other than the fact that at Google I.O., if you recall Google I.O., they were talking, Google was talking about kind of the next iteration of AR glasses that Google is working on, going to put out at some point. I feel like when Google I.O. was happening and they were showing off the glasses, I felt like this was like maybe a couple of years out, but apparently they're going to start beta testing these suckers, I think, next month, starting in August. You might encounter someone wearing the new iteration of
I have
Google's
a proposal.
AR glasses.
Yes. I want to be able to trade in my Google Glass on this. I think I have
that would be nice. I would do that.
Yes. Yes.
In a heartbeat. Yes.
Yeah, although, those $1,500 glasses.
Yes, I know. Journalist. It's probably going to cost you more to send it to them versus what those things are actually worth.
Yeah, I know.
They're not worth that $1,500.
Rub
now,
it in. Right? Rub it in, Amp. Rub it in. I bought the lenses for them. I bought real lenses for them so I could wear them all the time. I'm that much of a schmuck. Am I going to buy these? Probably because I'm a schmuck.
Bless his heart. You're not a schmuck. You go all in. You dedicate yourself to the bit. That's what it's all about.
For the show. I do it for the show. You're dedicated to the bit. You're right.
And Kevin did the same thing. So, you know, you're in good company, Jeff.
I am. Yeah. He's there with you.
These are not going to be tested broadly. It's just like some of their employees, and these glasses are different. They're for AR, understanding like the environment around you. They can't take pictures and video except algorithmically. So basically they're pulling in data, but it's not data that you can like post on Instagram or something like that. And they will have a red light for when they're collecting that information.
Oh, I don't know why I had it in my head that there was no camera on here, but that makes sense if it's an AR, you know, glass that it would have some sort of camera. It's just you can't use it to take pictures.
It's like LiDAR, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not LiDAR, but it's like time of flight.
Yeah.
Image sensing. I have a hard time we need a new word for taking imagery for computers and not for people's vision.
Right.
But is this basically a play for Google to take this particular product or proposed product out of the regular consumer's hands and just saying, you know what, we're really focusing more so on enterprise and manufacturing? Do you see some type of fun consumer product coming out of this? You know, with all of the Pokemon stuff that people still play. I even heard somebody still plays Ingress. You know, and that's AR
games. That's a blast from the past.
Well, the last game I played was Myst, so.
Good job.
Wow.
Congratulations. It's about time.
So from a consumer perspective, Google is talking about things like translation. What else did they talk about? I'm trying to remember what all they said, but.
That's the main thing that I remember is translation.
Probably directions and that kind of stuff.
Now, I think given how Google historically, like, you do actually need some sort of image sensing if you want to do, like, you know how Google has their AR directions now? I don't know if you've played with their directions.
Yes.
And it'll put that up. So I'm envisioning something, being able to do something like this on a heads-up display would actually be really good. So you would need to get some sort of image data from it for that. For translation, as someone who just spent time in a foreign country trying to read menus using my phone, you know, having a heads-up display that shows they can see the world.
That sounds so nice.
Instead of sitting there pointing at it with your phone kind of thing.
Which, I get it. Which was fine.
It worked, sure, right?
It's fine, but this would be truly transformative, right? Like if you were already wearing glasses anyways, it would be less of a, I need to pull out my phone in order to do this thing, and more, this is just a new superpower that I have when I wear these things. It just automatically happens. That's awesome.
A good way to put it, I think. Yeah.
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 But I think it's a really interesting question there because they learned the lesson with glass that if you give it to just everyday ordinary schmucks like me, we're going to end up making fun of it and it's not really going to work. So they realized that the real use of it was for tradespeople and doctors and so on and so forth. So I think if they learn that lesson, you never know with Google, but it would say to me that their reflex should be to start with those kinds of uses and prove it.
Mr. Jarvis, as someone that has their own theme song, you're not an everyday person, my man.
Well, I wasn't.
You're definitely not a schmuck. No. You are not a schmuck.
That the use cases, I think consumers would want this if they had the right kind of gear. And I think they found the use cases in enterprise because A, they were expensive, but B, because they weren't comfortable to wear. So you had to have like a really good incentive and your employer really saying, hey, this is,
yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I think like, and we're seeing, like, if you think about Snap spectacles, you think about the Ray-Ban sunglasses, Amazon made the Echo frames. They weren't that great. But you see that we're trying to, like, it's very clear that we're trying to figure out how to cram as much tech into a truly wearable device.
Yeah.
And we're still not sure what the use case is to drive like people to actually purchase it.
So stay on that, Stacey, for a second.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so I think that's Google's attempt to throw something out there, start playing around with it and see what that, I hate to say a killer app, but at least a viable app for Glass might be.
Mm-hmm.
So with the old Glass, I don't think it was anticipated that taking photos was going to be a primary use, you know, Robert Scoble in the shower and all that. And I think that what Google wished for was the heads-up display giving you information because it's an information company. So what's interesting in this case, if they disable photo taking for any purpose other than data and knowing where it is and that kind of stuff and being able to present an augmented reality, the design decisions will drive the usage, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yes, and we're so much – yeah. And we're also so much further in terms of what these are capable of. Now we have, you know, I can't remember. Was Glass back in like 2013?
Yeah. I mean, it was 10 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so now we
Glass
have
was 10 years ago.
Real-time translate, right? We have always-on wake word detection that can actually like play back music or do like we have so much more available to us that isn't taking pictures that still feels both useful and a little bit familiar. So I do think you're right, Jeff, that we have these things available to us now and that'll be kind of exciting.
So what do you think the killer app should be, could be? What would you, with this capability, with this superpower, what would you most want to be able to do with it?
My issue is I need it to be almost as good as my current glasses and like not as stylish because these are my most stylish pair of glasses.
They are very stylish.
Rocking it.
But have it like, I feel like music playback that's compelling is good, right? I feel like when I'm walking around a city having directions, like you have to think like translate sounds awesome, but how often am I in
how
a
often?
Foreign country,
right?
Yep.
So like what are the everyday
use cases? Could you have imagined? Using it there?
Oh my God, I would have loved it. I would have loved it, but it wouldn't have been something I would have purchased for that. That's like a, yeah. So I'm like, what is my like almost everyday use case where this becomes compelling? Maybe it's playing an AR game and that gets us like a lot, like gets us penetration. I think directions is really interesting.
Yeah.
I actually don't think notifications is a good one simply because like, I don't want to be reading while I'm trying to drive, right? Does that make sense?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know that everybody is still kind of pining to get that notification triage, you know, always being completely up to date on those notifications that come in. I feel like we've kind of shifted a little bit. I know I have away from let me know every single little thing that happens as it happens, you know, immediately on my phone, but in front of my face. Like, that's too noisy for me. The thing that I do every day that I could see this being useful for would be the navigation, even though the navigation that I use right now is handy already, but that's like an immediate, like when I think of translation, you're right. I'm rarely ever in a situation where translation is necessary. So that's not going to be the killer app for someone to get this in my view, but I navigate all the time. So that would be very helpful. But
you don't navigate if you're driving
a killer
on a
app,
screen.
I don't know.
But you're navigating on a big screen, right?
Yeah, but like I'm just thinking about like how my Tesla handles, they have two forms of navigation. On the big screen, I have like the traditional map that you're probably used to, right? Mm-hmm. But then in front of me on the little dash in front of me, I get like basically like just a little turn left here kind of thing. So I think those are what you would see on the Glass. You wouldn't see the map style. And then as a woman, like I never take out my phone. when I'm walking places, right? Because I don't want someone to come and whack me over the
Situational
head.
Situational awareness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to be aware. So I'm thinking about like, there's also like, I really think things like music playback might be good, or the ability to start a voice call could be compelling. Mm-hmm. Emergency, like I would love to have like, hey, G, call 911, you know, share location or something like that could be useful. So I'm just trying to think of like places where I have my screen. And then also, what if you could see things like, I don't know, like, you know how you Google a restaurant and it says like, oh, I'm super busy, or I'm not super busy right now. What if you could just like, as you're walking by a place, see like, oh, holy cow, that's crowded. I mean,
now there,
maybe you can see it.
The annotated world, yeah. That starts to make a lot more sense to me, Stacey.
That makes a lot more sense.
That is context. By the way, it also makes me, listening to you guys, makes me think it should be disabled when you drive.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you should have a driving mode.
Right? Plenty of tools.
Or driving mode that's simplified. That only gives you what you actually need for that very specific
task.
But
your focus comes off the distance and onto the lens, doesn't it?
It might. That's like, have you used the AR navigation?
Yeah.
The Google AR navigation, like while you're walking?
Walking where you doesn't take a picture work very well for me. It's always confused. Yeah, I'm always going like this. Oh, no.
Do the figure eight thing.
You got to calibrate it first, man.
I look like an idiot on the street.
Oh, no. So has it asked you, because Google will ask you instead of calibrating, it's like, hey, hold up your camera and let us see where you are. Have you done that yet, Jeff?
Yes, it works for the three steps and then it gets confused again. I haven't done this in quite a while, in fairness, but it was so bad.
You and your electromagnetic blood.
Your magnetic blood. When you enter into that mode, it does an overlay on top of the real world. So I could see something like that being enabled in driving mode. I mean, it's not there yet, but that I feel like could be where it's going.
I could see that on your windshield.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
Okay, no, we can't bring a car in. That's a whole other system of like manufacturers and like API calls and like design. And then I'd have to have a Google car versus an Apple. No, Jeff.
Which, of course, is what I would do. I would get a Google car. I'm not getting an Apple car.
Being able to throw on a pair of glasses and immediately go outside and get this new contextual awareness of the world around you, talking about superpowers, like that right there is the killer app as far as I'm concerned, based on what we're all the different, you know, possibilities that we're talking about here. If I knew that when I threw these glasses on and I went for a walk downtown, I was going to immediately understand, oh, that place has a really great sale going on right now. Maybe I should go in there and check it out. Or that place is as dead, you know, that awesome restaurant is as dead as it ever gets this moment. Maybe I should go in there and get lunch. You know, things like that actually impact your immediate life. And actually, beyond that, it's almost like you get a window into a world that doesn't exist without those glasses, right? It's kind of like
that was Foursquare's dream, was to do that.
Right.
Back in the day.
Yes.
Well, you don't have to have your phone in your pocket. Oh. Sorry, Stacey.
What won't they do? Well, I was just going to tell Jason, that he will have to still have his phone in his pocket because we don't have the computing power for this yet. But okay,
that's true.
And what is the killer app they'll never do?
They'll never do is, who the hell is that? Oh my God.
Yeah.
They'll totally do that.
Yeah. Don't want those privacy implications.
I'm terrible at names. Oh, I would love
that. What if they did it so like, here's what if they did this. What if I opted into sharing my face data with my contacts? And then Google's like, this is a contact of yours. Would that be okay for you?
You could put in your enemies as contacts. I mean,
opt-in is okay.
I'm easy, but.
Well, no, I would have to opt in to be like.
Oh, you would have to as a subject. Oh, but
then also,
opt-in is cool.
Yeah. And then also I would probably want some sort of like creep mode in that where I would be like, even though they're my contact, I don't want them. So I might have to proactively go in and delete, you know, and I could always opt into or opt out of it completely for everyone. What about if they did it that way?
I like that. Some sort of like quick disable or invisibility mode or something like that. Yeah.
I still think invisibility mode, like So Google says in their, they're talking about this, they're not going to share data from sensitive areas like government buildings, hospitals, places like that. I actually think Google has the power to shut that down on the device. They're just saying they won't keep that data. But I actually think Google has the power to create an invisibility mode for people. So, y'all.
How do you think these, how is Amazon doing with Echo Frames? I know that they have a second generation, so they didn't totally kill it. And I realize that it's definitely, you know, in comparison with what we're talking about, it's definitely a lot less than, you know, by comparison. But has Amazon been at all successful with kind of bringing a kind of connected glasses to the market? I hear nothing about them, I feel like.
I haven't. Kevin hated them. I haven't ever encountered someone in the wild with them.
Yeah.
But I have encountered people with the Ray-Bans sunglasses that freaking love them. Like, I've encountered 4 people in the wild wearing this, which isn't a lot, but, you know, it's more than the Echo.
That's enough for a New York Times trend story.
That's a lot. Were they,
I feel like that is a lot.
Who were these people? Were they people that would be panelists on this show, or was it
right? Yeah, where? Random airports or at a convention?
Yeah, tech conferences.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
So all right, then yeah, then no.
Men with money at tech conferences.
It ain't a lot of people with them then, if that's the case.
Yeah. But still, I can't imagine many of those have been sold in the grand scheme of things. So that's still.
I mean, the Best Buy. There's 3 or 4 brands of listen to music glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's starting to be a better known interface.
And those are like bone conduction sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've tested pairs of those. They're actually quite nice. Like, cause you can hear the world around you.
Yeah.
Like, I would probably wear something like that if I didn't have glasses. I would pick up a pair of those for like biking or something like that.
Yeah.
But I can't see without my glasses.
Yeah. Neither can I, or with contacts.
Neither can I.
By the way, if you still have those classic, you know, Google Glass, and they're not going to take them as trade in for these new things, which I'd be really surprised if they did. But hey, you never know. I'm seeing them on eBay for like $450. You could just sell them.
Really?
Someone will buy them.
Yeah.
Apparently,
Google Classics.
Buying collectors' items, essentially.
Exactly. Oh. That's what you're doing there.
Well, or I contributed my Osborne 1 to the Museum of Printing in Haverhill, Mass. Maybe I can contribute to my Google class.
Maybe.
Got a tax deduction.
Nice try.
I think you should just take the cash myself. But
donated from a schmuck, yeah. On loan from the collection.
You're not a schmuck.
Show title.
People want to know if their Jarvis is a schmuck. Well, Jarvis is not a schmuck.
Well, we'll do an internet poll. Schmuck, not schmuck.
Swipe left for not schmuck. Swipe right for schmuck. Let's see here. Should we talk a little bit about, I don't know how much there is to talk about this, but Google has officially announced that they are freezing their hiring process. They did say that if there's any hiring happening, like they're in the midst of hiring someone, they're not going to like totally shut that down. But I guess new people that aren't already in the process of being hired by Google, you're going to have to wait your turn. Or, you know, who knows when that's going to be done?
It's 2 weeks.
They say it's two weeks. Okay.
I think it was interesting considering we just talked about this. It's a very short amount of time,
but I think it's a signal. It's like it says, hold on, everybody. Yeah. We're going to, you know, we got a plan coming. Don't do anything. Because otherwise people are going to rush in and hire 20 people.
Right, right.
But like, what is that plan? Is this all based on the downward turn of ad revenues or what? That's what I couldn't quite understand. Because they just talked about this last week of the season sort of slowing down or what have you. And then now we got this report that's basically cold turkey stopping it for 2 weeks. What's the timing on that? This is July. The quarter's not over for another 2 months, right?
Yeah, but we're in a bear market right now. So once you hit, it's like a magical time when everyone freaks out.
and everybody is freaking out. All the big tech companies seem to be announcing something similar to this right now.
Yes. Microsoft, Apple, yeah. I think, is.
Yeah.
Facebook certainly has.
They're either announcing hiring freezes or announcing layoffs. The freak out has begun.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a lot of layoff news. Like,
yeah. Ooh, one of my friends just got laid off.
Oh, no. Mm. TikTok has started laying off. Even TikTok. Yep. Even the beloved TikTok.
That's right.
It's an excuse, too, to Ann's point. And to Stacey's, when you hit a downturn, you can start doing things that you otherwise wouldn't do and use this as an excuse. So you're not evil and nasty. You're just, oh, sorry, it's, downturn.
It's well, just I don't business. Think it's that. I just think it's like, okay, guys, we're about to enter we're potentially about to enter into turbulent economic times. We had a plan in place, but seeing these signs, basically you're just putting on the brakes because you're like, there is a windy road ahead. And what they'll do, like a 2-week pause makes total sense. So like, let's say you had open headcount, your 50-person division, you're basically like, you can't fill that yet. Now, in 2 weeks after they've like, these are the priorities we're going to have, then you can pitch your open positions again. I mean, it's just like tapping the brakes a little bit.
You sound like you're just laid off your daughter.
But it's fascinating that it's just a 2-week window. That's I guess because I don't quite get.
No, macro that's because that's so they can plan.
Economics.
They're like, don't hire someone right now until we figure out how we want to handle this.
Okay,
that's all this is. All right. It's
okay. That makes
it's
more
basically
sense.
Like I don't know about you, but if you're looking at the market right now, or like we're self-employed, but like if I had a job, I might be like, oh, dude, let's not make any big purchases for a second just to make sure, you know,
we
can
jobs.
See where things are going.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Because hiring someone's like making a big purchase.
Okay, so now my next question is, why is this news? And I don't mean that.
Well, I guess you can't work at Google
like,
anymore.
Why is this news?
Well, it's an indication,
it's an indication that the market is freaking people out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And based on this, we should expect, like, maybe they'll extend the hiring freeze. If they extend the hiring freeze and we find out about it, then we know that Google thinks this is going to be actually more severe than they originally thought. Or maybe they'll be like, we're not going to hire anybody in our ad division. And that means they're not confident about ads. Like, you'll get an indication of their priorities going forward, like where they think their growth and what they need to maintain. And
Or if they hire 100 people in their Chromebook division, then I celebrate. Yeah. You know,
Jeff.
Well, now, why would they
bear
do
a
that?
Message. I'll bear my message in a minute.
Your dog bears a message, apparently.
Message is the FedEx person is here.
Oh, goody. What does the FedEx person bring?
Not a Pixel book.
The figure of the week.
No.
So... Oh, that's maybe I should keep this as my thing. Oh, I'm so, the dog. Okay. Kevin says, Jeff, the dragon, is it the Lenovo Dragonfly, the HP Dragonfly, whatever his current Dragonfly Chromebook, that is the Chromebook for you.
Whoa.
So read that.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a big record. This is the Chromebook that Pixel would have, this should have been the Pixel Chromebook, were his words.
Oh,
HP Elite Dragonfly.
You know, there I it saw is. It in Best Buy, and I said, "Oh, this is HP, really?" I do read Kevin every week. I just hadn't gotten to it today yet. Kevin.
Yeah. So
there is actually Chromebook news too in the rundown.
Oh, there's a 3-to-2 aspect ratio on that. Does that bother you, sir? I would assume not, as a writer.
That's what I've got now. What I had last time.
Might bother him a little.
Yeah, a little bit. So there's a story in the rundown that says Osterloh did say that Google plans to make more Pixel books, by the way. He wouldn't say when. That was at I.O.
Yeah.
So, if you need something, they plan
to make more 2 years from now or 3 years from now or what? That's nothing.
First, my bubble ant burst it.
Hey, I'm going to keep it straight with you, Mr. Jarvis.
Right. This is a new one. I had to get the go because my old one died. So my battery just died. So this is the go, which is fine. Kevin wouldn't have. He didn't have the courage to recommend anything explicitly. He didn't want to blame him for anything.
Didn't Kevin Toefel like the Pixelbook Go, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, he did. He did. But there was the other one. The one I was going to get is one of those that was that folds back, but then the screen digs into your knees, and it's kind of weird, and I wasn't that happy about it. And so I like this one. It's not as bright outside as I want, but it's a good machine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not enough mitts.
Yeah.
Well, then you're going to have to wait a little bit longer for your Pixelbook. I doubt that it's going to be, have the mobile internet support for it, but we can always hold out hope. I was going to ask. Yeah. Does that matter?
Once I got rid of my grandfathered AT&T plan that wouldn't do tethering. And finally just surrendered. Okay, AT&T, you got me.
I see.
I see. Now it tethers immediately, and I should have done it years before, and I was just being stubborn. That's who I am. And so I don't care about that. I don't care about having LTE anymore.
Yeah. You can just tether, and it's basically the same
off
thing.
My list. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good that that's off your list, because apparently they don't really do that much.
It's not going to be on anybody's list. Yeah.
It's not their jam.
Not their jam anymore. On the Chrome OS tip, apparently there is there's a story in here on ZDNet about taking old Linux desktops and transforming them into Chrome OS. I guess Google have a kind of a service now or a way of
they have a version of Chrome that you can take to old Windows machines. I don't know if you can do it with Macs or not. There we go.
Okay.
But yeah, you can have the sense now to finally have a Chromebook. What I don't know is what updating they will do of those, because Chromebooks do go out of update at some point. So if it's an old machine but a new build of Chrome, I don't know how that operates. I have no idea.
Good question. Chrome OS Flex is what that is called.
One of our listeners up in the Pacific Northwest, Ryan Lonsberry, mentioned doing this and hasn't had any issues with putting it on an old machine and seemed quite happy, because I was complaining about my computer over the weekend acting up. And he's like, well, I just tried this new Chrome and works just totally fine. Getting work done with it, too. So,
nice. Speaking of getting new things, Ant, we missed the big story of the week. We forgot. I forgot. I read this on Twitter. Very important. Are you getting a new Pixel 6? They finally admitted that it's broken?
Well, sir. It just got here this afternoon.
Oh, big news.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to wipe the other one and get everything transferred. But it just it made me mad, because I said something nice about the dadgum phone last week on the show, and then the weekend it just totally went to crap. I mean, everything, it just... I don't know what happened.
I'm 2 inches away from my Wi-Fi, and it won't do anything.
And it was just dead. I'm sitting here looking at the router, and it was no Wi-Fi. Phone calls stopped working, or the phone would ring, and I would answer it, and no one would hear me. But yet, I call back, and they could hear me. I mean, it just totally went to crap. And I'm like, I just bragged about this dadgum phone. So,
how hard was it to convince Google that it was dead?
Not very hard, because I can write quite sternly if I need to. And that's,
the email was full of capitalization. That's basically all that it was.
So that seemed to work, because, I used to be in tech support, so I know about all of the scripts and stuff and that they need to do. So I've already had all of that stuff ready to go, and I literally just pasted it here. All right.
Oh, so you showed them all the diagnostics you'd already done.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, so look, so don't even start your little triage stuff with me. I don't even bother with that. And I usually say that in there. And they're like, well, okay, Mr. Pruitt, and here's your order for the replacement. Blah, blah, blah.
No back and forth at all? That was it?
Oh, no. Wow. It took about 15 minutes total.
That's nothing.
That's awesome.
Ant, you've got to rent yourself out for this.
Yeah, well, no
you
kidding.
Just gotta,
yeah.
It's all about stern writing. That's all it is.
You didn't even have to hop on the phone. That's what's amazing.
I didn't call anybody. I did it all over the little chat thing. Because they have, they have the little Pixel help stuff in OS, and you just hit the little chat button, and I literally just hit paste, because I had already started a little note, and I just copied, paste, and waited, and it was about 15 minutes.
I mean, the tricky thing about that, though, is like I have definitely heard from people who have had that experience when it comes to support from Google. And then I have also heard from people who have had the exact opposite of that experience when it comes to support from Google. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's never like a 100%. All you got to do is hit them up on chat and, you know, tell them exactly what it is. And it's going to result in this sort of outcome. Sometimes it's hit or miss. Sometimes is it dependent on the CSR that you are actually communicating
possibly.
With? Probably.
Possibly.
To some degree, but you just don't really know. You know?
Possibly. Yeah, but this person, they did attempt to go into their script and I shut it down. Nope, you're not doing this. We've already gone through that. Let's just go ahead and move this along. And the other thing they mentioned was repairs. And I remember saying, no, you're not. I'm not going to send you this phone to repair it. This phone costs way too much to have to be repaired in under a year. Send me another phone. Mm. That was it.
That's good.
Good work. So next week we got a report.
No, there was not a please in there at all. It's stern.
Okay, that's where I fall down. I'm always like, I would like a phone, please.
Please.
No.
Okay.
It's please. Stern.
Well, I could be stern and still say please.
Oh, I bet you. No. I can't put please in there if I'm going to be stern.
I have a mom voice.
Yeah. I'd be scared of you.
Nah.
Our aunt, are you hopeful or optimistic that this new device will solve all your problems and you'll suddenly be like, oh, maybe I had a lemon all along. Like maybe this is...
I'm optimistic because the phone did get better with those last two or three updates. It did get better. But like I said, I don't know what happened last weekend. Just totally random. Hmm. Trying to talk to my mother and just... weird. And anywhere I'd go in the house, and I know the house has some dead spots or whatever, but this was everywhere I went. And then you try to call over Wi-Fi and none of that was working, even standing next to the dadgum router. So yeah, something's wrong with that phone.
Are you maybe going through all this to avoid talking to your mother and having a good excuse for it?
I will not say such a thing on air because remember I've told you before, my mother trolls me when I bring up stuff like this on here, so I wouldn't say such a thing. Mm-hmm.
You've got some explaining like to mom. Do. It's coming.
Love you, moms. Hope you had a good trip to Cleveland.
All right, let's take a pause. That was a lot of Google in one block. Didn't that feel good? Wasn't that invigorating?
Look at that.
Yeah, we delayed Elon Musk for that long.
Yeah. Hey, I'm cool if we don't talk about Elon today. That's just how I feel. But
well, I think a victory for Twitter is worth at least noting.
That's true. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Fair enough.
That's Twitter a legit deserves story, a but we don't need a whole cluster.
All right. All right. So how about this? We'll give you the victory lap for Twitter, although maybe it's too early for a victory lap, but a victory clap.
But it felt good. We'll give a golf clap for Twitter, yes.
Yeah, we'll
golf
give a victory clap to Twitter. After we thank the sponsor of this episode of This Week in Google, this episode is brought to you by HPE GreenLake. That's orchestrated by the experts at CDW. The helpful people actually at CDW, they're going to understand, and they do, that your organization needs simple management over its big data. But with some needing to keep their workloads on-prem, due to, you know, organizational requirements, it can feel challenging to organize and then optimize your data. And that's where CDW can help your organization by consolidating and managing all your data in one flexible, unified experience with the HPE GreenLake Edge to Cloud platform. The experience you're going to get with HPE GreenLake is unique because no matter where your data or your applications live, you can free up energy, you can free up your resources with automated processes and streamlined management. And, well, let's be honest, we could all use more streamlined things, so that's good. Not only that, HPE GreenLake creates a seamless cloud experience among multiple data environments thanks to the as-a-service model that actually meets your remote workforce right at the edge. And with unrivaled scalability, you're going to see an instant increase in capacity, That allows for greater flexibility and accelerated business growth so your team can tackle bigger priorities like, I don't know, innovation, right? When you need to get more out of your technology, HPE makes data transformation possible. CDW makes it powerful. Learn more at cdw.com/HPE. And we thank CDW for their support of This Week in Google. All right. So, okay. So let's give Twitter a little victory clap here. And what are we talking about? So Elon Musk was trying to get this trial, I think delayed into next year for reasons, I'm sure. Twitter wanted this soon. They wanted it fast, and that's what they got. It begins in October. The trial will be expedited. So 5-day trial, which is definitely a point for Twitter, worthy of a golf clap. And that's about all I have to say about that. I'm curious to know what y'all think about this. I'm Musk exhausted at this point, but
Masnick listened to the beginning of it, at least, and had a good report. And part of what was happening here was that Twitter was smashing through Musk right and left. And the judge, didn't question Twitter at all. Musk's arguments were kind of dismissed. So the mood of it was, you can't read too much into it. It was just about the only issue was the timing, but the judge made clear that there was damage to the company here if this went on longer. So Musk wanted February, Twitter wanted September, they got October. And, so I think it's a first good sign here, on the Twitter case.
Okay. He's just got to put up or shut up, or you can't be in limbo this long as a corporate entity. So that mm-hmm. makes sense. I mean, imagine if you worked for Twitter right now. It'd be awful.
Oh, God. Yeah, I have to. Oh. Yeah, I know no one directly that works at Twitter, but I have to imagine that this has been really, really challenging for anyone that works there. You're really questioning your choices, and wondering, do I stay? Do I go? Am I confident in the vision of Twitter that was versus where it's headed right now? Like everything is one giant question mark. And yeah, how unfortunate. Like it's unfortunate that something like this comes along and completely shakes the foundation. I mean, it's underperforming on Wall Street. It's just sad, even for a company that I appreciate and use regularly, it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Even with a company that like Twitter, well, even if Musk was not even in the picture, someone to come in to wanting to buy them out, how is Twitter's future looking anyway? Because again, you just mentioned that they're sort of on a decline as far as revenues go. What do they have in place to sort of right the ship?
We don't know. They had, what was it, Blue Sky?
The $3 a month that the four of us, the only people are using, that's not going to save them, you know.
Well, if they got $20 billion in the bank from Musk, mm-hmm. just to pick a number out of the thin air, that gives them a lot of runway to certainly do a lot helps. Of development. Blue Sky.
We don't have, though. Oh, yeah, go on.
Nope.
I was going to say, there's no articulate vision for what Twitter, like, Agarwal. Is it Agarwal?
Agarwal. I can't say his name.
Agarwal?
Agarwal.
Yeah, there's no...
Agarwal.
There's no vision
that's
yet.
What
so
I was like, no, it's not Agarwal.
What you're about to say, I think, Jeff, about Big Sky is interesting, but like, is that the future? We don't know. Could they invest in that? Sure, but you don't give $20 billion to someone who doesn't know what they're going to do with it from a company perspective. Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's the question of the board and the CEO. What happens? What's about the leadership? There's also a different ownership structure now because you have there was another hedgy who is betting long on Twitter and short on Musk, and he's now one of the top five shareholders. We had another one last week called Hindenburg that is also now a big shareholder.
That's
and
right.
So the humanity. Oh, the humanity. And so the shareholders, the large shareholders, I think will have things to say about where Twitter goes, who runs it to one end. As you know, I've talked about ad nauseum on the show. I'm enthusiastic about the model of Blue Sky discussion as a protocol, building value added layers on top of that. I think there's I think if Twitter basically, it's basically the way to reopen the excitement of the API days when it started and people were doing neat things with it. And if you could make that part of the company, I think good things could happen. We'll see. But I don't want it to get all messed up. I think people also go crazy online about it. You don't want Musk to buy it. And I said, to everybody, I said, it's negotiation. Unless they get so obvious they're going to win in court, that's when Musk's back is against the wall. That's when you negotiate with him. And that's when you try to get a lot more than $1 billion out of him and get rid of him at the same time. Then it's a win-win.
Yeah, that'd be a smart.
There should be a German name for that. Is there a German name for that, Jeff? That type like of win-win strategy.
Sieg, I guess. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Twitter Sieg.
There you go. Okay.
Twitter Creek.
Is that enough Musk?
That's plenty of Musk for me.
Are we wearing enough Musk right now? We can move on.
It does.
Hey,
sting.
You know what? Yeah. Oh, phew. Hey, you know what? Dolly, too. They're opening up their wait list. Apparently, they're looking for 1 million users. They plan to do that within the next 2 weeks. You can get on their wait list if you haven't already. You can go to the site and sign up for Dolly 2 and start making some imagery. That's pretty cool. I want to make some images, see what I can come up with.
Oh, the form is great. First name and the fill-in-the-blank name that's just holding space there is Salvador. Last name, Dolly.
Nice. Clever. Yeah. I've signed up. I don't know what I'm going to put in there when it comes through eventually. Hopefully I get picked for the wait, off the wait list, but not hold my breath.
Dude.
But
you could be I'm looking forward to building images for my stories because, there's no great stock art for IoT, right? So I'm like, oh, what kind of crazy images can I build for spectral efficiency?
I mean, seriously, though, I'm going to be really curious to see how this does in that, in that direction, because that seems what this is really ripe for. And actually, with this new kind of transition into essentially being a paid for service, 50 free for the first month, 15, and it's a credit based system, by the way. So 50 free credits the first month, 15 free every month after, and then you can purchase additional credits, $15 for 115 credits. I don't think that 115 credits means 115 images. I think it breaks down less than that. But what this grants you for the first time is full usage rights. So commercialization, reprinting, selling, merchandise rights, all that stuff. So these images become really useful and perhaps very valuable for a really low cost. It's kind of crazy. Like usually you would need to hire a digital artist to do a lot of this stuff. And I have to imagine certain people in that realm have to be worried at least a little bit about losing some business to this.
Yeah. That's you've basically created an AI graphic designer is probably a little much,
yes.
But yeah, AI artist, AI mechanic,
graphical artist. Yeah. Something like that.
Illustrator.
Yeah.
Maybe illustrator.
I don't think that it will be a problem for that particular industry because that industry has relationships and they tend to get their business based on their relationships and skills, not just their skills,
Well, and your field destroyed the business of illustrators before photography and halftones came along to publications. When Lincoln was killed, Harper's sent illustrators down on train to Washington to draw and get back as quick as possible to draw them and etch them, and all this kind of stuff went on. And then photography came along, and boom, tons of illustrators were out of work because you and your photography
You're
got
welcome.
Rid of them. So
the only
place
they live is in courts, in court reporting and in fashion. Because they're still, I'm serious. Those are the two areas where you still have actual illustrators working.
Mm-hmm.
Bad aunt.
It's your fault, aunt.
But I mean, from a like graphic designers, I'm sitting here looking at one.
That wasn't the right
illustrators.
Word.
Illustrators.
Yeah, I'm thinking illustrators more illustrators. I mean,
I mean, imagine all that silly art you have every time that, The Atlantic does another hot take. Do that.
Right.
I think it was a master. Somebody was doing getting logos made with it, and it was pretty neat. what I could do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, is it going to absolutely replace any human whatsoever out there doing this sort of stuff? No, but there's probably a lot of people who would much rather pay the low, low cost of this and just accept what it churns out as opposed to hire someone. I hate to say, but that's probably true, right? Like, I just need this
image fast.
There's going to
be people doing that.
And I need it now.
Yeah. There'll definitely be people doing that. But if you take the likes of and this may be a bad example, take the likes of a big brand like Nike. They're probably not going to do that. They're probably going
to... Yeah, Nike's not going to do it, right. But I would do it.
No, you're right. No. Right.
Yeah, I would do it. Yeah, totally.
Like a little blog or even not a super little blog might do it just because it's fast, it's easy, you don't have to deal with a person.
Yeah, like, right.
The people who are turning to a service like Fiverr to get, a quick turnaround thing made.
Exactly.
Dots' daughter and her soap business. Right?
Right. Yeah, something along those lines, right?
Yeah, yeah. And get something pretty cool and unique.
And I want... Oh, sorry. Did I cut you off? No, well, I was wondering if... as this type of thing gets built out, like we're at a point right now where we can say, Robert Redford's head is an ice cream cone. I don't know what the random thing is, that you want an image as. But you say a short sentence and it gives you something and you either like it or you don't. It's either close to what you were thinking or hoping to see, or maybe you didn't even know what you were hoping to see, but it's something along the lines of what you said and great. If this system gets built out to a point to where you can give it multiple layers of instructions, similar to what you could do with a real digital artist or a designer and say, mm-hmm. all right, what I'm looking for is I need a logo. It's got to be green. It kind of looks like a baseball, but blah, 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 blah. You know, going all this detail to the style of do. And you can go into that kind of level of detail and then get something back. Then I think digital artists and designers, they probably would have to worry about something like that, right? Because then it does get into the realm of replacing potentially.
I still disagree because a lot of digital artists that are creating things for brands, that communication, that face-to-face communication is really, really critical because, the proposed client is going to have a particular vision in mind. And sometimes it is the responsibility of the artist to say, you know what, that is a great idea. Let's shape that up. Or, you know what, maybe we should fine tune this a little bit because you're going to be able to get a little bit more reach, that kind of thing, and that tends to happen way more than one would realize. Just because you could see a great logo in your head, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the right logo for you.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's when those artists come in.
Here's one I put.
There's going to be no thing in DALL-E that's like, by the way, that's really insensitive to the following group of people.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. And I think about this. This sort of makes me think back to the handful of years ago when Adobe Sensei, its AI, started to pick up a lot of traction and put in tools inside of Photoshop and Lightroom. And a lot of the tech media was saying, oh boy, this is just going to make it to where photographers are a thing of the past because, their Photoshop skills are just going to be accessible by anybody. And that's not even the case. What that did was made it easier for people like me to do those repeated tasks a lot faster because of that AI that's in there. And I think this is just sort of going to play hand in hand.
And you also, though, you could get things that inspire the illustrator to work. I put on something chat now for Stacy, mainly, I think. Waldo Jackwith, who has access to DALL-E, put in a prompt of product photograph of the UNIVAC wrist computer made by Sperry Rand in 1967. It's in the Twitch chat if you want the link.
Great example. Okay, I see it. I'm just moving it over to the doc if that's helpful.
I should have brought the doc.
No. I'm unable to view this tweet because this account owner limits
you. Yeah, they protected the tweets.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm honored.
They protected their tweets. Yeah, you're privileged, Mr. Jarvis.
Wow, it's
awesome. So special.
Tell us how awesome it is, Jeff.
Well, you'll just have to imagine.
You know, he's sitting there again at the beginning of the show talking about he's just so everyday, yet he's got a theme song and he's got privileged tweets right here. You know?
Well, Ant wants a theme song. Ant wants a theme song bad.
You already got a laminated card, Ant. Wasn't
laminated
that enough?
Card.
Wasn't that enough? Jeez. Well, I'm excited to use Dolly. Who knows how far and wide it's going to go and make impact.
I don't think it's going to hurt anything myself. Just to be clear, I don't think it's going to hurt anything. It's definitely going to help a lot of people out, and it can even enhance some of the stuff that we already have in place in that particular industry, in my opinion.
I think you'll see more illustration where you otherwise wouldn't have seen it, where people are now putting up photos they don't have the rights to. I want to illustrate my silly little blog post, and this would be a wonderful way to do it.
What I don't want to see, what I don't want to see is a bunch of Bored Ape stuff. You know what I mean?
Don't worry.
No computer would make that. Only stupid males would make that.
In the style of Bored Apes. That's your addendum to any query.
There were all these little 8-bit, it was kind of funny, all over Paris on the buildings, there were just like random little 8-bit kind of drawings of different things. And I was like, I wonder what those are about. And my child, who, you know, at 15, is like, ugh, it's a bunch of tech bros and their NFTs. Blech. So that whole thing, it is destroyed. It has destroyed 8-bit illustration for this person and possibly this generation. I was like,
right,
dang.
Right.
Dang.
I absolutely love that. Yeah. That's great. That's great.
Hey, Stacey, tell us about Matt. What's the matter with Matter? Probably nothing's the matter with Matter, but there's at least some Matter news, and you wrote about it. So tell us a little bit about Madam A and how it's getting ready for Matter.
Yeah, so today Amazon did their big developer event for developers. For those doing, and I'm going to say the name. So if you have an Amazon Echo, this is a good time to mute it or to just be prepared for things to happen. It's called Alive, and Matter is set to come out sometime in the fall. So we're seeing all these companies talk about like, hey, we're launching this ahead of Matter. So the big news for people who like smart homes are that Amazon is setting up Alexa for what's called multi-admin. So one of the big things people are excited about with Matter is this feature called multi-admin. And that means you could have a Google and an Echo and a Siri and the app from the manufacturer. And you do things once in one of those places and they'll propagate to all of them. And then you'll be able to control your stuff from all of those places, right? Which is exciting. So Amazon said, if you name a device, whatever that name is, it will propagate everywhere. And your group names will propagate everywhere. And they released an API for that. They also announced something called the Ambient. It's like the Ambient Home Dev Kit. I think it's the Ambient Home Dev Kit. And that is really cool because they're taking like kind of this proactive approach that they started with Hunches. So like, I don't know if y'all use Hunches. Do y'all use Hunches?
No.
No.
If you turn, not in a tech
if you
standpoint.
Turn it, oh. So if you have an Alexa and use Hunches, if you turn it on, it'll like randomly suggest things like it had a hunch for me one day that like, oh, you're going to bed. Do you want to add your locks to this routine or do you want to turn on your locks?
That's cool.
Lock your door. Right. So it's proactive steps. So with this dev kit, now other developers can have their devices have Hunches too, basically. They don't call it Hunches. The only thing they have right now is the stuff that I mentioned about naming for Matter and a home and away. So the home and away will be like, some device will be like, oh, cranky, Stacy's away from home. And maybe my Roomba device, if I've given it permission and they use this kit, this SDK, they can be like, oh, you're away. Let's get Terrence, which is the name of my Roomba. Let's get your Roomba cleaning the floors right now. So that'll be cool. I feel like there's some other stuff, but those are the two cool things. And then they updated Thread for Matter, I think, which you may care about or not.
Sure, go for it. Explain.
Oh, no.
Because you wrote about this too.
Yeah. I actually wrote stories this week. Amazing.
I know. Well, I went to Stacey on IoT, vacation. And yeah, there were tons of stories.
That's when you get stuff done, is on vacation, apparently.
No, it was coming back.
Or refreshed coming back.
I was like, oh. with Thread, they've basically, Thread, if y'all aren't aware, it's a wireless, low data rate mesh network that is also IP enabled. Google actually was the birthplace of Thread. Tony Fadell was like, hey, we should do Thread. And since Google had bought Nest, Google's like, all right, yeah, we'll do Thread. So basically, this update does two big things. One, it identifies what a border router is. So Thread, you have all these low power nodes that can talk to something called a border router. And that just basically, the border router uses, it's plugged into a wall and it talks to Wi-Fi in the internet. Yes, your individual Thread devices can talk out to the internet, but it would be silly because it would suck a lot of power. So you just talk to your border router. Anyway, this update basically says, here's how border routers are going to work. Here's how you can add devices to border routers. Here's how all this stuff is going to happen. And that's great because a lot of devices were coming online ahead of Matter as border routers, but they didn't work quite right and together. And it was kind of difficult for developers. So this fixes that. And then it also makes TCP/IP the primary way to get to talk to Thread, or to Thread uses TCP/IP to talk to the internet. Beforehand, you could actually opt in or out of that, and it was kind of a big pain. That's it. These are pretty nerdy, not exciting stories.
You're here for the nerdism. You're here for the nerdiness.
Yeah. They're a little nerdier than that.
Even for you?
Oh, wait, you're going to get ads on your Echo show. As a consumer, this is what you care about. Amazon said developers can, in the app and on the Echo show, you can promote your skills. So y'all are going to start seeing promoted skills on your Echo show devices. And eventually, you're going to hear them.
So basically, promoted skills, like it would flash by and say, you can ping this service for blah, blah, blah. I want to install it or want to add. I don't know. I don't have an Echo device, but something along those lines. And then you could add it from there, or ads outside of the ecosystem.
I think it's going to be like, hey, would you like to try this skill out? And it's going to pop up on your Echo show somehow or in the app.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
So you either like that space is being used like that or not. One of the things we've been talking about on All About Android is the lock screen ads. I can't remember if you covered this on This Week in Google in recent weeks, but that there's a possibility that somewhere in the future, you know, that lock screen is going to turn into an ad.
We did discuss that briefly.
Yeah, so that kind of reminds me of that. And, you know, if when you're spending money on a device, are you okay with the possibility that part of that device is going to be used to demonstrate or to display ads, given you've paid for the device? Like, I could be okay with that if I knew I was getting a deal on the device, similar to what they do with the Kindle and the kind of lower-end Kindles, subsidy, that sort of thing. But
your lock screen is kind of, a lot of people put photos and stuff on it. I mean, on your phone, we've historically, like, when you take away my Kindle, who cares? It's not like I was using that for personalization. But on your phone, I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't have like some sort of highly personalized something there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know.
Totally.
That feels different.
I don't like any idea of an ad on my lock screen, especially if it's no type of subsidy with it. This is my device that I paid for. Stop intruding on the dead screen like that. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's not even an app. It's just a terminal at that point.
Give me a way to disable. If you're going to do that, give me a way to disable. Yeah. There was no please, I noticed.
No, there was no please.
No please.
No please for me.
No please at all. Just don't do it.
Pretty or otherwise, not there.
Although even when you're speaking firmly, you still got like that calm, kind of quiet voice going on.
Warmth.
Oh, he's calm.
Yeah, the warmth.
Behind there it is. Calm. Yeah. Just set him a phone. Just do it. Just
send it. I do say thank you, at least. I just didn't say please.
Right. What about Netflix here? So Netflix continues to slide a little bit. This is the second consecutive quarter of losses. Lost 970,000 paid subs in the quarter. They expected to lose 2 million, so they didn't lose as much as they didn't do as poorly as the poor they thought they were going to do. So I suppose that's an improvement from really bad to bad. But yeah, things are really rocky with Netflix. Netflix used to be kind of something you could count on. It was pretty stable, and now that stability is just kind of out the window. It seems like they're fighting in a few different ways.
They had to pay for all this content. They had to raise their prices by a lot. There's a lot more competition. I mean,
a lot more competition.
Stable.
There's a bit of a recession going on.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
isn't this the financial corner from what we talked about in the first segment with Google? This kind of stuff is bound to happen with the economy being as craptastic as it is right now, right?
That's true. This isn't an essential need, you know, streaming. And especially like you mentioned, Stacey, there are a lot of competitors out there.
There's competitors. I think that's where it is. Yeah,
I think that's largely what it is, too. I mean, for the longest time, Netflix was one of the earliest to the game, largest catalog. I mean, even remember in the beginning when they started the online digital streaming, the content that they did have really wasn't that great. But the fact that they had lots of really not great content was enough for people to buy into it and be like, well, I'm sure I can find something in here to watch.
Yeah, because they had a lot of old school gems in it, if I remember right. They had a lot of old school gems
that
tapped into that nostalgia side of you. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is worth the $15 a month, because isn't that what it used to cost?
Well, it was like $7.99, and originally it was like $7.99 plus you got a DVD in the mail, so you had
DVDs. That was such a good day coming home and opening the mailbox and finding a DVD in there in the little red package.
I don't know,
a moment of delight.
We always had like the aspirational Netflix plus the normal Netflix, and the aspirational one would just sit there and like stare at you.
So true. Maybe I should mail this back and free up that slot for something I'll actually watch. No, I'm going to watch it one of these days.
I will watch I will watch this black and white film that is entirely in a foreign language. Yes.
Right. I've heard that it's worth it.
But
am I really into it? Yeah.
Have we hit peak subscription? Right, it's 63% of all news subscriptions in the U.S. go to Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, and New York Times. Everybody else splits all the rest. There's just a ceiling on it. With so many competitors, as Stacey says, and some getting better, is there just peak? Is that it's only so much? It's gonna so big a pie that's gonna get sliced up. Did they all think that they could get their pieces?
Yes and no. So here's what I think is happening. I think the consumer is gradually getting accustomed to paying more for subscription. So historically, you know, you might be like, oh, well, I'm only going to subscribe to a couple magazines and maybe a newspaper, right? And so your subscription pie was this big. And then maybe you add Netflix. So now we have a TV chunk in there. So now your subscription pie is this big. And we're adding more, but that happens over time. So you're fighting for an ever-growing pie, but Wall Street wants you to grow, you know, and take 100% of the growth of that pie.
Bigger slices.
So I think what's happening is we're not tapped out exactly. We're tapped out for the products available to us, and that will probably grow slower than anybody who's trying to sell us subscriptions wants it to grow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think only time will tell. You know, I was thinking the other day, I still pay for HBO and Showtime. I'm waiting for Billions and Succession. I never watch anything else. I should get rid of it.
Why don't you? We buy Showtime. We buy it
dip in, dip out.
Yeah,
yep. I got to.
You should be dipping. Yeah.
There's
lots of services.
For football season.
Dip it.
Dip it.
Is it Trip? No, Truebill? There's a service that'll actually monitor your subscriptions and flop it, you know, it'll just be like, hey, you're doing this. Speaking of subscriptions.
Every now and then get a message in the family Slack that, hey, so-and-so show is coming out next week. And that's basically my hint to go and resubscribe to certain premium service, whether it's Showtime or something like that, and they will binge right through it, and they know as soon as it's over to let me know so I can turn it off. because I'm not going to keep paying for it if it's a lot of unwatched content out there, you know?
Yeah. When Succession comes along, you must dip it. That's what you do.
Dip it. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Put that to the 80s
That's
song.
Not financial that. Advice, awesome. By the way.
You must dip it.
Dip it good. Okay.
Dip
Where's
it.
Your flower pot
dip
hat?
It good.
Let's see here. Oh, but before we kind of veer off of the Netflix train, ad-supported tier is going to launch early 2023. So we started hearing about this very recently. And now with the earnings, we're finding out this is going to happen relatively soon. Not all of the content on the platform is going to be cleared for that ad model. It's going to cost less, of course, than the current $15.49 standard package that we have. So
less than or free?
Well, that's a good question. I think what I read was that it's going to cost less than. I think everything that I've heard is that it's a fee, but you still get ads with it. So what is that?
Like, that's
what
no different from Hulu. It's the same model.
Yeah, I suppose
Hulu
so,
uses.
Right?
That's
the well, Hulu actually, model, Hulu has right? three. They have free.
Totally free.
They have
lots of ads.
Lots of ads. Oof. And no ads.
Yeah. Right.
So Microsoft has signed up, not Google, Microsoft signed up with Netflix to be their ad partner.
That's because Google YouTube is competing with Netflix, and mm-hmm. why would you help enrich your
competitor? Well, they were in the negotiations.
Well, no, I know, but I mean, surely Google's that everywhere. Factored against them.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that got me thinking is this plan, you know, password sharing is another thing that we've been hearing from Netflix mm-hmm. for the longest time. They were okay with it. Hey, we don't care if you share passwords. And then suddenly they care a lot. Now they're testing share. Hey, you know what? Times change, I suppose. It seems like a pretty obvious boogeyman, you know, if you're losing money to say, hey, maybe we shouldn't be you know allowing you to share your passwords after all. So I get it. They're testing charging users in Latin America with an extra fee when sharing passwords outside of the primary residence. What this got me thinking is, like, I've stayed in enough Airbnbs and hotels to realize, like, now, like, when you go to a place, it's like there's a Netflix app installed and it's like log in with your account. I wonder how this is going to affect that. That would be interesting. Like, am I going to have to start paying for doing that?
Hulu already does this. Experienced this with the hard hit because he's on my Hulu plan or what have you, and he went off to college that's umpteen hours away, and it was like no, you can't do this. So he ended up having to create his own account because the home zip code was not, you know, not close enough to his geographic location.
Hey, yeah, y'all, I have to tell you, I have to correct it. Hulu doesn't have a free plan anymore. We're old, so they only have an ad supported plan and a non ad supported plan. Oh my God. And they also have basically cable. Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of stuff in their package offerings. At one time I was paying for the live TV version without ads plus a couple add on things. And then I just started cutting stuff out. And now I basically just pay for, their, what is it? It's just the ad free plan. It's not live. It's just ad free. So I pay for that. But then in August, I will re-up and go back to the live TV because that's when football starts.
Oh, and they have ESPN. So you can add ESPN for $7 a month.
Yeah. And then they have the little package with Disney Plus because, I get Disney Plus for some kind of discount as well. Disney Plus and ESPN Plus. There's a lot of stuff.
This is two new businesses for Ant. I want them to be my customer service representative on my side, and I want them to be my... entertainment concierge.
Yeah. Concierge.
dipping me in and dipping me out. Yeah. And
hey, if you ain't watching it, cut it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's I think just how it
this
goes.
This is it, Stan. Yeah.
If you're not watching it, just cut it off.
That's true. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to pay for it if you're not watching it. Absolutely. And I mean, and the system is designed to be friendly to your ability to cancel it and then re-up. Like if it was like the old, you know, satellite, like when we got DirecTV, it's like, you sign up for the whole year. You could just drop in for the month or whatever. Oh. That's one of my favorite things about these streaming services. Like I don't have to pay, you know, when the Olympics comes around, that's when I pay for the entire month for YouTube TV, watch all the Olympics, and then I don't need it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Nice that you can.
Cable used to do that too. Time Warner Cable used to do that to us with the whole annual package or what have you, and I'd have to opt out of that. It's like, no, let me stay month to month. And
yeah,
I would call them at the same time each year. Okay, you can go ahead and kill this now. Yeah, because we'll just
and you'd have to actually call like.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You'd have to actually jump through some hoops to make that happen.
And then they want to play chicken with you. They'll want to play chicken with you and then offer you another free month and this and that. And that usually keeps people on, but I'm Aunt Pruitt.
Right.
No, I know what I want.
Well,
I know what I want, and I don't say please.
I know what I want.
And I don't say please.
Unless it's to mom.
In California, y'all are actually, it's actually very nice for y'all because there's a state law that says if you can sign up on the web, you have to be able to cancel on the web.
Yes.
Oh,
that's right.
Didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everywhere should have this. Like when I,
totally.
When I like wanted to cancel the Wall Street Journal, I had to like call and like, it was such a pain in the butt. And I was like, God, if I only lived in California, because they're like, you know, I'm like, I would like to cancel. You click on the thing and they're like, call. Unless you're in the state of California, then click through here.
Oh, but you clicked it anyways, right? Just to see.
I clicked it to see. And then I was like, oh, man, I need a VPN.
Right. But I wonder if that would have solved the problem right there.
Right. Right.
Probably not. But yeah.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. We're only going to give you the customer friendly solution if we are required by law. Anywhere that we're not required by law, we're going to inflict pain upon you.
Yeah, we're going to
beat
you.
That is the way the world works, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it is, but it's dumb. It's dumb that it works like 100%. Qualcomm.
Can we do cats? I'm dying for
Cats. Okay, fine. Let's do cats. All right. From Qualcomm to cats. Tell us about the musical, Ant.
Relax, Ant. Don't go away. It's not the musical. Oh, okay. We're not doing cats.
Good. I'm sticking around then.
Memories. We're not doing that, Ant.
Alone in the moon.
So what are we talking about?
Talking about Stray? Line 67, Stray, which, so last week.
Oh, yeah.
Stacey, you missed this. I realized that I should play some games since missed, and I was looking for recommended games to get a sense of it, because there's a book you might really enjoy, Stacey, called Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
It's on my holds list.
It's good. It's very good. So Leo suggested Stray, and I thought, I got all excited, but it's not available on what I play with. But people have been talking about it like crazy. They're really enthused about it. But, of course, the people aren't the only ones enthused. Cats are. Cats are watching Stray. And the people are capturing lots of nice little videos. We have some there on that story.
Oh, really?
Of cats watching. It's on the rundown line, whatever I said.
67, I think.
67. I know this is more complicated when we can't just go to Leo's machine.
67.
But if you guys could go to that one, it's fun stuff. I should have warned you. Okay, so yes, if you scroll down a bit, you'll find a few examples of cats. There's one right there. So you see the silhouette of the cat watching the cats.
Aww.
And hearing the meows. There's another better one.
Oh, that's
below.
So cute.
Is that, go below. Wait a second. Go scroll down if you would.
I didn't know this game was only $30.
Does the cat get hurt?
No, they want to meet their cat friends.
If you scroll down to another
one. I mean in the game.
That's a good question. I don't know.
It's like it's trying to walk into the game, yeah. It's like,
wow. That's so cool. I love it.
Isn't that neat?
I don't know about neat. That cat should be smarter than
that. Yeah, the cat's trying to kill the cat, which may be a curse. So it's becoming a genre. There's all kinds of accounts now of people looking at cats watching Stray, which I think is really cute.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Although if your cat has claws and tries to do the paw thing at the screen, you
may
know,
be good for it.
Might not be good for the screen, just saying.
Oh,
you might end up with some scratches.
All right.
So you might, just be careful. That's all I'm saying. It does look like a really cool game, though, I have to say. I'm very intrigued by it.
I didn't know it was a $30 game. I thought it was going to be some expensive game. I may look at this. I just have to reinstall.
Who are you, Moneybags?
No, clearly.
Well, I wanted to play it, and I got to buy it. How much does it cost to buy a PlayStation? Jeez.
Oh, yeah, is it PlayStation 5?
A lot. Like 500
The GPU shortage
like
is over. You should be able to find one easily.
That's true. Now that the crypto boys have run away.
Since I'm one of two Windows people in the whole Twitch studio, I'm fortunate to be able to play Steam on my computer.
God, but you got to buy a game on Steam, and that is like, you need like a master's degree to do that. Good Lord.
I like Steam.
Every time I have to buy my brother's games on Steam, and every time I do it, I'm like, okay, it is, it's a process.
Oh, yeah.
But that's you buying it for your brother. It's probably a lot simpler for him. He just goes to the library and hit buy, done.
Well, that's what I'm like. I will give you money. Here's a check.
Here's the cash.
Use it towards this. But then, you know, then I'm like, did you ever get that game? He's like, oh, no, I used it for gas. And I'm like, ugh. Yeah,
it went into the gas tank, went into a burrito or three. Yeah. That's how it is with my boys, actually.
Yeah.
Need gas money, but yet they show up with In-N-Out bags. Really?
In-N-Out is way better than gas.
Yeah, I remember that age. Priorities. Yeah. Gas money takes a back seat to burgers. Let's be real.
Well, speaking of food.
Yeah.
You want to do a TikTok moment?
Okay. Oh boy. I'm game. This is a democracy. No, I don't know why you think it's anything other than a democracy, Jeff. But
I know. No, it's a revolution. 112. Now, the problem is John may get mad at me because there will be some editing afterwards because he does come up with some words once in a while.
Oh, John doesn't do the editing. He's going to be all right.
It ain't going to be John is mad at you. Well,
he defends the editors. He speaks on their behalf. So this guy is a monotone, growly chef, and he reacts to TikTok cooking videos. You got to listen to him.
I watch him. He's cranky.
He's great.
He's Jeff as a chef.
Why?
Now we're
going
to take half a cup of milk, half a cup of water, 1 cup of flour, and egg.
Okay.
Now we're going to whisk all this together and make our batter.
Not impressed.
Like he had me at the sigh.
Oh, is this the salmonella gloves lady?
Place them in the center of the saran wrap. Flatten that out. Now we're going to take this and cover it in some batter. You want to make sure it's completely covered. Now
yeah.
Place this on top of
why?
The rest of our fries.
On top. What the actual?
Oh,
yeah, make sure you fill in the gaps.
Now we want to take our saran wrap and fold it over.
You know, I'd like to see him make one of these.
She just loves making things in the shape of buns.
Really easy to criticize from the sidelines.
Ladle.
Yes.
Slow. There we go. See how that's nice and brown there?
Yeah, sure.
All around. Just want to let that drip.
I don't know. I feel like he could be a lot more critical than he's being. I feel like he's holding back.
I'm back.
Burger.
Burger, cheese.
So if you go to his list.
There it was.
For something that's inevitably going to look like she's being super delicate with this. She seems nice, but.
Sorry, live stream. I'm going
to eviscerate her on this video.
Yeah, he is not nice safe for work.
Why?
No, he's not.
Definitely
he's
not.
Hilarious.
Definitely not.
He's hilarious. Because some of these recipes are just awful. And he'll say at the end, 3 out of 10. I'd eat it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Who cares? He's positive about like he's got the lunch offs, which I think is actually kind of a fun TikTok trend where the lunch offs where people who I think it's probably people who work in like construction and stuff, they're like, what did my wife or what did I pack for lunch today? And they all like show off their lunches. Pretty keen on those. Just like, oh my God, something on TikTok I haven't seen.
Yeah. I know.
So you search that right now.
Jeff, so if I say the phrase, he's an 8, but, and I don't have any clever thing, but would you be like right there with me?
For him? What?
No. Okay, now I have to do it. Let's see. He's an 8, but his online tech shows go on for 3.5 hours. What is he?
Got it.
Then he's a 6 in my book.
Whoa. We all just got demoted. Wah, wah.
Well, we better not make this a 4-hour show then.
Please no. That's the,
yeah. Don't worry. I got you. Are we excited about wearables at this point? Are we, you know, kind of what's going on?
Oh, this is good for the show, Stacey's actually.
Yeah, so, I thought so. Yeah.
This is good. You know why? Because the whole thing that makes Android Wear OS, why Android Wear OS sucks so badly is because Qualcomm has not delivered good silicon. So
right.
Apple's like pumping out these amazing chips going into the watch, and Android watches are still like 800 pounds this thick, and if you don't have wrists the size of like ants,
they're perfect for me. I just don't own one, but they're perfect for me.
Yeah, so Qualcomm has finally said, and they said this, and you can tell Qualcomm knows they're coming from way behind here, because like on the call I did with this guy, he mentioned that this was entirely new, entirely redesigned chip for the brand new Snapdragon Wear 5 platform is what it is. And there's the Plus, and then there's a smaller one for like kids' wearables. Big things, if you're a chip nerd, they're moving from 12 nanometers all the way down to 4 nanometers for this, which is a big deal.
That's huge.
Cool. Yeah. And that's going to help you so much with battery life and size. The other thing they're doing, and this I'm really excited about, is they put a lot into ambient mode. So, you know, like forever ago, and if you get my newsletter, you'll read about it this week. We're moving from like sleep and wake mode to a third liminal state we're calling ambient mode. And in ambient mode, you're basically going to have your sensors, and they're going to be always on sensing stuff, and then they'll wake up the processor, right? So this is going to save on battery life. Qualcomm is putting audio playback, notifications, always on wake word detection, and a tiny little GPU on their always on processor for their ambient stuff, which means you can do all that stuff without like waking up the main processor for battery. So that's going to be great too, because like the Google Android Wear stuff was always so laggy. And so now they can have a really good processor, but it won't be sucking your battery life the whole time.
Yeah. They said 50% longer battery life compared to their previous iteration, the Wear 4100 Plus and 4100. So,
yeah, I have. Do you want the battery stats? I actually have them right here. Let's see. You know, this all depends on what you do on it, but for like just a Bluetooth fashion watch, they're saying it's going to be about 43 hours of battery life.
Oh, all the way up. Not bad.
Yeah, well, that's not LTE. An LTE watch is going to get you 54 hours, and then a tracking sport watch will get you 3 days. But that's with like double the battery than the Bluetooth watch. It's a 600 milliamps battery.
That's impressive.
That is.
But yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, their battery, but if you can get through like a day or two for like an LTE watch, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just want to get through the day and have plenty left over by the time I put it on the charger at night so that I'm not cutting it close and having that like battery panic mode, you know, like, am I going to make it to the charger by the end of the day? Yeah, it is your watch. And, you know, so that's going to help. If it truly is that much longer of a battery life, I think that's a really big win. Knowing that it's smaller, that's excellent. I think the one thing, and I talked about this a little bit last night on All About Android, is that the 4100 and the 4100 Plus, like when those came out, it was like, finally, Android Wear gets its long-awaited update, which it had been forever since Qualcomm had updated the processors that were in watches at that time. This is what, a year and a half ago, let's say, off the top of my head. And so they did the 4100 and the 4100 Plus, and then hardly any watches were launched with it. So even though Snapdragon had done this, you know, big transformation of their wearable processor, no one was using it. So I really hope that we actually see some output, some utilization of this chip on newer watches, that we see some.
And I asked them about that. And that's why, like, that block diagram I threw in there, everything on there is new. They were like, yeah, no, they didn't directly say this, that nobody wanted to use it because it wasn't compelling enough. But basically, they got the message and they were like, we're ripping everything out. And so everything's replaced. The smaller, like going down the process node with the 4 nanometers is going to really help too. So the first watch will be out in August. It's going to be an Oppo watch. And then the first Android, that's just the first watch using this. The first Wear OS watch is going to be MobVoy. And it's going to come out later this year.
Yeah, the Tick Watch. We'll have that W5 Plus Gen 1. Prior to that, the Oppo Watch 3, which is going to be a modified AOSP watch. So, like you said, not running Wear OS, but still, you know, a watch and still be able
to benefit
from all the changes.
Smartwatches? No.
I'm
not either.
The little exercise thing, but it's not smartwatch.
No. I mean, I had one long ago, and I'm not lusting after it. I'm just not.
Yeah. I'm not missing it when I don't have it on my wrist, to be honest.
I would like to have audio playback on mine. Like, I don't think the charge mine does audio playback. Well,
when you say that, do you mean to Bluetooth?
No, I mean actual audio playback. Like, I want to stream Spotify. Because I don't want to bring my, like, when I go out for a run, less so here because I can have, it's colder here, so I have pockets. But like beforehand, when I was in Texas, you know, you don't want to strap a smartwatch on or a phone to your arm.
No. Like, yeah.
This thing right
whatever
here.
Whatever it's called, yeah.
So you want your watch to have always connected ability, be able to stream from Spotify, but connect to your Bluetooth headphones that you're wearing when you're out for a run. And so you're just wearing your watch and your Bluetooth headphones, and that's it.
Right.
Right.
That's what I want. Yeah. And that's only when I'm out for a run. The rest of the time it can talk to my phone. I don't need it to be a tiny ass phone on my.
But is that even possible?
Yes. You could have an LTE watch that streams Spotify to your Bluetooth headsets on our watch. Yeah. I think the Apple Watch does that, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think the Galaxy Watch 4 can do that if you've got an LTE chip inside of it. So yeah, there are watches that allow you to do that, but that is nice to not have to bring the phone with you, not have that tether.
So did we notice Stacey's very, very subtle, nuanced sneak there of a bite of something?
I was. It's ginger candy.
It was. Oh, it's too late. It's like, going to the mouth.
I was like, oh crap. Bet I'm on the screen. I am.
You never know. That Benito keeps you on your toes.
Oh, exactly. Yeah,
switches to your camera right when you're eating the ginger. We should give some props to fellow Twit, Rene Ritchie.
Yeah.
He now works for the Goog. He works for YouTube. He was hired by YouTube to be their second ever creator liaison. So he's going to be working, he's still going to continue doing his channel, his YouTube channel.
Oh, cool.
So that's not going anywhere. He really wants to, from the article that I read, I haven't talked to him, but he says that he wants to stay connected and close to the, you know, to the creator lifestyle, to what it takes to be a creator, to create and actively do that on a regular basis. But he's also going to be working with YouTube to be kind of a liaison between other creators and, you know, inform them on how to do YouTube right, all the different facets of YouTube, that sort of stuff. So big time congratulations to Rene Ritchie.
Smart hire by YouTube.
Very smart hire.
He's done a heck of a job.
Yeah.
Like Danny Sullivan at Google search, mm-hmm. you know, you mm-hmm. need your Mac cuts. To have people have faith in. Speaking of which, has Matt been on one of the shows lately?
Not in a while.
No, I reach out to him every once in a while, and it just hasn't worked out. He is genuinely interested, but yeah, it hasn't worked out yet. I keep trying, so I will keep it up. We'll get Matt back one of these days.
I've been the recipient of a Jason email that says, "Hey, you said no a lot of times to being on this show. Maybe you're just, maybe it's just not a good time for us. Maybe we should stop bugging you."
Well, when I hear it interpreted like that,
Wow. It's true. I love it. I'm like,
red.
No, it's so nice. It's like,
I mean, as a person who is booking lots of people on a lot of different shows, like the last thing I want is to continue contacting someone who is like, you know what, my life is really busy right now. Like, I appreciate it, but you know, it's at a certain point, it's kind of like, okay, I'll save you the trouble. I'll save me the trouble. Is there a time down the line where I can get in touch with you and maybe you'll be interested again or your life will be a little bit easier? So hopefully it comes across like that.
No, it totally does. I actually stole your thing. I stole your wording for my own, like, hey, I don't want to keep bothering you. So
yeah. Yeah. So just let me know. Yes or no. It's cool. If you can't do it, that's fine too. I don't want you to feel like, you know, you have to do it. So yeah, totally. Well, cool.
Yeah, that's I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you, Jason. So much I was better. Like,
that's okay. I'm just happy that it was interpreted well and not like, geez, he's just nagging me to like come on all the time.
No, no, it's so good that like such I who don't feel well with Jason. Humans stole it. I was like, oh, this is a good way to deal good. With people. I like it.
Yeah, there we go. Right on. Cool. I'm happy that was helpful for you. Let's see here. We've got lots of random stuff, but I feel like it's all really good. Good stuff to talk about. What about the FCC chair? Okay, they proposed new U.S. broadband standards for the U.S., long overdue in many people's opinions. What is it? 100 megabits per second up, 20 megabits per second down. Is that...
Flip that.
Opposite.
Oh, is it? Oh, sorry.
20
sorry.
Up, 100 yes. down.
Yeah. Sorry.
We're still consumers totally more than creators.
Yes. Fair enough. What do you think? If this were implemented, is this enough?
No. But it's way... Basically, the FCC is historic. Like, I want to say they did the other standard of 25.3. That was like...
Yeah, 25.3. Yeah, that was Ajit Pai, right?
Yeah, it was Ajit Pai. And at the time when they did it, we were all like, it should be 125. That's what everybody who was in the world, like the tech world, people who were seeing the future of the internet, that's what we all said. So like all the way back in 2015, we were like, you need like 100 megs down. So 7 years later, we're here. That feels like the FCC speed, in all honesty. I mean, when we got 25.3, we were moving up from like 7 something. I mean, it was really... Like,
it was DSL.
It was bad.
And the reason it matters isn't for like the 90% of us. It is for things like federal broadband rules. It's for things like the Internet Essentials plan. So, you know, the FCC and various ISPs have plans for like people who can't afford internet.
Low income.
This will set the baseline for those programs, both formally and informally. And then it also helps determine which technologies make it. So satellite was a big reason we didn't go beyond 25.3. And getting 20 megabits per second up is going to be hard for satellite, even SpaceX.
Yeah.
So like it's a big deal, but
SpaceX
it's also
running
like
now. What are they running now?
I don't know where they're up. SpaceX.
Or Starlink.
Oh, Starlink, right.
Yeah.
Starlink, 50 to 20 is what they promise. But I don't know what they promised.
And then like 3 or 4 up, yeah.
I'm sorry, up.
Yeah. Premium services Starlink claims to provide between 150 and 500 megabits per second.
Wow.
But it's not synchronous, is it?
Claims to be. Yeah, I'm not seeing that.
It
in
does
this.
Claim to see secret.
No, yeah, no. It claims to be 150 to 500. I don't know. If, I don't think that it's synchronous.
Because with satellite, I mean, with any internet service, you have X number of like channels that you can send your data over, right? Like X number of lanes. In most, because we're a consumption oriented society, we tend to allocate more lanes for download than upload. So that's it makes sense, but that's where you get like the super fast speeds, as you're like, oh, I can give you 100 down but only 5 up because I only have 21 5 megahertz channels.
You know what I want is an FCC or FTC standard for claims of high-speed hotel internet. I haven't been in hotels much in the last 2.5 years, but maybe they've improved, but I doubt it.
Yeah, their ultra plans are at the best 7 megs down. That's their ultra plans.
Yeah, they're not going to let you stream Netflix for very long, most of them. But I've actually been recording podcasts. I haven't done Twig from a hotel because I'm not like you, Jeff. I can't stay up till midnight doing Twig. It's like, oh, no. But they're actually pretty good. I've been doing Google Meets and Zooms and whatnot.
Well, maybe the pandemic Zoom era forced it.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
Maybe there's not enough
necessity.
Hotels. I don't know.
Maybe it depends on the hotel.
Yeah.
Or the resort.
Yeah. Resort. What do you think we are, rich aunt? We go to resorts?
I mean, I'm looking at you and all of the mahogany books and stuff behind you. Come on.
I stayed here.
I'll be honest, I'm resort. Fancy. I resorted up, and you know, most of us are going to be resorting it up because most hotels are adding a lot of like resort fees, even if they're like, God help
you,
3-star hotel.
Right. Yeah. And it's like $50 and up per day for those quote unquote resort fees. It's ridiculous.
The FTC is looking at those pricing ways. They call it drip pricing. So in hotels are actually one of the places they're looking at that right now. Be encouraged. The FCC also did something. Rosenworcel, in addition to broadband speeds, yesterday sent out a letter to 15 ISPs, mobile carriers, or people offering mobile services, including the big four and or the big three and Charter and Comcast and Google and Mint. And it said, hey, I would like to know how you're dealing with location data. Do you keep it? Do you share it? What's the process? Oh. All of that. So she is, Rosenworcel has sent those out. Their letters are due back from the carriers on August 3rd. So we hopefully will get some information about how that's being handled. And
is this Roe related directly? Or
I was about to say, not that I'm excited that we took away the right to abortion, but it is forcing the tech industry, lawmakers, and everyone to understand the data brokerage industry in ways that, you know, I would like to have not given up my rights for, but, you know, silver lining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking for something, somewhat of a silver lining anyways.
Miss Stacy, can we go back to the first part of this segment here? You said it's not enough, the 100 down and 20 up. You said it's not enough. Why?
Yeah, but that's because I'm a giant broadband nerd. For many people, it will be enough.
Yeah.
But if you think about AKTV streaming, which does exist.
Are we going to assume the people that are on, say, the low income internet plan will have access to 8K anyway?
Well, I mean, who's to say? Maybe it's important for their job. I don't know. I don't want to see the internet bifurcate by levels of income. More than it already has, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair. Call me a utopian person. But anyway, the point is, I know, me and my high hopes and naivete. The point is, you can, I mean, like a family of four, like, what's your internet speed, Aunt?
It's not 100 megs. But I'm greedy.
You're probably also, you know, if you're actually sending photography files, good Lord.
Yeah. Lots of data back and forth. 500 megabits down was okay, but it wasn't up to my standard, I guess. So I had to bump it up because everybody's in the house with remote schooling and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I don't, I think
if it wasn't for remote schooling, I probably would have been okay with 500 down, but definitely not with remote schooling coming into place the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not that you want to set policy based on this, but if you think about the data requirements of something like the metaverse, and I know we're, you know, I don't know what that's going to look like, But even things like telemedicine and like needing always on data. And what I really would like to see is the FCC talk about things like resiliency programs and then the quality of service you get. And
should
we're not
caps
really
go away as well? Okay, do you think caps should go away?
I have never thought caps made sense. They don't.
Yeah.
I have.
You know, because I remember the argument. I remember the argument several years ago. The vendors would say, you know, we're trying to protect our network and, you know, keep it stabilized, yada, yada, yada.
These greedy people.
Right. So, but then when the pandemic hit, when everybody was at home and everybody was doing remote work or remote school, you didn't hear one thing about the stability of the internet. You actually heard those vendors say, you know what, we're going to give you a little more data, blah, 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 out of goodwill. And I'm sure everybody got their allotment and then some, and there was no problems with the internet stability then. So why even have those? Why not have the government come in and say, look, you need to stop all this. This is bad practice.
Oh, well, okay. So the carriers want, or the ISPs want a scarcity model for broadband. They always have. They have never, like, Intel wants a bigger pie model, right, for selling chips. They want more chips, more places, more stuff that uses their network. ISPs hate that because they can't make money off the stuff going over their pipes. They only get to make money on having the pipe available to people. So by creating a scarcity model, they at least make more money the more you consume. That's all that is. There's no, the additional costs associated with the network are not commensurate with the additional like costs of charging per gigabyte on a data cap, if that makes sense. They're completely divorced from reality. And this wouldn't be a problem, except we don't have competitive broadband in the US. And if we had competitive broadband, then you would go to a place that offers you good broadband and no caps, because the internet should be something that, I mean, it's like water. It should just, I mean, water is a terrible example because we're going to run out, but.
Well, it's information. Everyone should have access to information is what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah. And the services, because they're essential for being alive today. I mean, some countries have named the internet and broadband internet as a basic right, as like a human right, and all the power that that entails. We have not. But we should. I mean, you can't get a job today without the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally agree. Okay. What about, let's see here. Are there, we need to do the change log.
How soon we forget.
Do you wanna?
Dang.
Do you wanna? I know it is. Let's do the change log. Sound the horns.
Let's do it.
Let's get in there. It's time. Don't panic. Here it comes. I promise you. Here come the horns. Prepare yourself. There we go.
There we go.
They stubbed out their cigarettes and came in to pick up their horns.
Sometimes you gotta assemble the band, the orchestra. Like, fine, I'll play your stupid song.
That was good.
Thanks. Google Meet apparently adding, according to 9to5 Google, adding support for anonymous questions and poll responses. So you can run a poll out of your Google Meet. That's kind of neat. I wonder how quick it is to spin up something like this. I guess you can already create polls in Google Docs or in Drive, rather. But now you'll be able to integrate them into a Google Meet, take the temperature of the room.
You know what? When I give talks on Zoom or whatever, and the organizers will excitedly say, "We could do a poll," and I say, "No, we're not."
I mean, is that a complexity?
I love polls.
It's kind of like we could, but that's too much can go wrong. Or what is that?
Stacey, you love data too, so duh.
I like understanding my audience and what they want. Like if I'm going to talk about like I often ask people like, who has a smart assistant? You know, who's using these services? And sometimes people are like, no one raises their hand, and then I'm like, okay. My talk to a different level.
In my experience with polls, it's usually I don't
ask the right question because people will complain about the questions that are on said poll. I just give up.
And sometimes you find out something really fascinating. I actually was doing a thing about like privacy and smart devices. And I was like, how many of y'all have a baby monitor, you know, or have kids and have a baby monitor? And a bunch of people raised their hand. And I was like, so how old do you think your kid will be? Lower your hand if you're going to stop it when your baby is like one. Nobody really lowered their hand. And I'm like, two. Bunch of people lowered their hands. Three, et cetera. We had people like when I was like 7 and 8, there's like a few people who are like
still holding it up.
18.
And we're
21.
All like. And so then we had like a really interesting conversation because it really, I don't know.
That's cool. Okay. That's.
I love everything though. And Jeff, you hate everything.
Look at his face.
The perfect combo.
Face.
Jeff, how do you feel about this rebrand to Google Wallet? You know, we've been through many iterations to get here. Who knows if this is the final destination, but nonetheless, we're here right now. What do you think?
It's another Google branding mess. I don't care.
Mess.
Do you care?
Yeah.
I don't care.
What is different about it? But I just got the email and I'm like, what?
I mean, as far as I can tell, it's kind of about the same. It's just now, you know, first it was Google Wallet, then it was Android Pay, then it was Google Pay, then it was Google Pay with Tez. Remember Tez? That was a thing.
That's right.
Then it's, you know, now it's back to Google Wallet. But if you're in a store and you're paying, it's still Android Pay when you're, or
no,
Google
it's
Pay.
No, it's Apple
sorry.
Pay.
It's still. Yeah,
that's true. I pull out my phone. They're like, "Oh yeah, we have Apple Pay."
And I'm like, "Yeah, we have Apple Pay." Yes, totally.
Right. Yeah, right.
And you just kind of go along with it. You're like, "Yeah, okay."
Yeah.
Beep. So it's just confusing more than anything. That
I don't even see Wallet on my phone. I have GPay.
Yeah, that's it.
That'll change.
That's it.
That'll change.
That'll be Wallet now.
Starting to roll out.
Yeah. Okay.
It's starting to roll out. So your GPay is going to turn into Google Wallet, essentially. And I think, you know, they've even updated the app. So you're going to get some material you and dynamic theming if you care about that.
Mine.
I don't know about dark mode,
see.
Jeff, but there you go. So
that's I still have GPay for now.
Do you? Yeah, I still have GPay as well. I have not got the update.
But it matters not because that phone is going bye-bye anyway.
It matters. Yeah, maybe a new one. We'll just can't put my credit card on it.
Still?
You can't put it? Oh, really?
My credit card still doesn't go on it. Yeah. No.
Oh.
Have you tried lately? Because I had the same problem and then it got better.
Really?
It's got to be the bank, right?
Yeah, it's the bank. Oh, so can we just do a slight detour here? A Jeff complaint moment? So trying to get Jeff to play games, trying to make me a happier person. So the recommendation was made to use Stadia because I've got my Chromebook, right?
Oh, yeah.
So guess what happens?
Did they kill your subscription?
Can't use it, appears, because I am a workspace.
Oh, G Suite. Workspace.
Oh, yeah. You got in there right at the tail end of that, Stacey. You got it.
Cute.
I'll give you points.
I saw where this was going.
sad trombone sound. Yes, you're right, Ant.
Jeez.
Oh. Jeez.
Rears his ugly head again.
Recommendations in the Club Twit Discord last week for you, Mr. Jarvis. I don't know if you're able to look back at that, but a lot of people were sharing.
Yeah, they were, and I was looking forward to trying some of these things, and then I got some good recommendations on Stadia. There's one I wanted to play, so I couldn't figure it out. While we're on the show, I brought out another Chromebook, and I signed on to a different account to a Gmail account I never use, and sure enough, go right into Stadia. So I presume that's what it is.
Son of a!
It gives me a it doesn't say sorry, schmuck, you can't do this. It just gives me a 403. Be better if it said sorry, schmuck, then I'd know what's going on.
Right.
But no, I've got to figure it out for myself. Google! Thank you for this little... I needed to get this off my chest.
I love those rants.
It's just the gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly.
I should clarify really quick. I should clarify. ScooterX pointed out and corrected me in the chat room. Google Wallet is a separate install. So GPay you could still have on your device. And then you also have to install Google Wallet, which I don't know if that's any better.
What's the difference? What does one do to the other? Okay, now tell me what each does.
For heck, no.
It's a really great question.
Scooter X, what does one do versus the other one now? I'm confused.
I mean, Google Wallet is supposed to be where you keep all of your...
Everything, right?
Everything. Your card. That's where GPay operates out of, is supposed to operate out of. You keep your COVID card, your e-tickets, your loyalty cards, all that stuff is supposed to be held in your wallet, the Google Wallet, right? GPay was the place where stuff like that was kept, right? Now... Yes. My understanding is that GPay is going to continue being a money management app, because you know how Google also kind of created that as part of GPay. Like, right. Also, you know, we're kind of like Mint. We analyze what you do, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I need to dump that and get Wallet.
Play.
Yeah, you can dump
Play
that.
For Google Wallet. Guess what comes up? Google Pay.
Google Pay for now.
For now.
Yeah, for now. There's a link that Scooter X
basically. I plan on the migration then. I guess that's what it is. Because I keep stuff in that GPay thing. It's freaking useful for
credit cards. Well, and isn't it also where you put your plane tickets and stuff?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like my airline stuff's there. The tickets that I buy for venues or events or whatever, that they're in there. That it's useful. And then, of course, the tap to pay is already there, too.
So confusing, though.
Stacey, I think you're right.
Good old leadership at Google. Outstanding leadership at Google.
So
no focus. Well, trying to
set a screen.
Oh, your bank is not liking you? Who's your bank?
No, now it's apparently saying, okay, now I've got to set a screen lock. I have a screen lock.
Oh, my God. We cannot.
Sure you do. Sure you do.
Choose a new screen lock. Why?
This is when you're supposed to call in on Saturdays or Sundays.
You're going to have your credit card on this thing. So it wants...
But I have my finger. That's my screen lock, is the fingerprint, the thing.
Oh, well, it asks you if you want to enable biometrics. Just say yes.
It doesn't say that, no. No, it doesn't say that.
Oh, boy.
None, swipe, pattern, pin, password.
Somebody threw up the twit bug so the tech guy can reach out to Mr. Laporte, Mr. Jarvis here.
When Leo Laporte returns from his cruise, he will don his tech guy cap and get in touch with you and see if he can troubleshoot.
Okay, you stupid person.
You know what?
All right.
We should just
start from the beginning.
Jeff has tech problems. And then that could just be the whole show.
No, tech has Jeff problems.
I'm sorry.
Yes, good reframing.
There we go.
That's what it is right there. Google Docs getting some notifications that will alert you when there are additions or removals, so you can be notified essentially if someone makes a change into the doc. Kind of feel like that seems like
that
it's
already
something
happens.
That, I feel like that's already kind of there, no? Or maybe
because I had to turn it off. Because anytime I, turned a story into an editor, I'd get like 8 million. And I'm like, Jesus, no.
Every once in a while, someone will make a comment in a doc, and I definitely get an email that says so and so commented in the doc.
And so this is maybe resolved.
Well, this says, so these are notification settings. So maybe it's kind of expanded around this. Notification settings, you can choose to get all comments for you. None of them get notified for added or removed content. Maybe that's the chain. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the change
is. That was already there.
Thought so too.
These things sound like All right, next.
Okay. Go home, Google. Right. You're drunk.
Wah, wah. I mean, it's probably some sort of change, but apparently not that monumental. YouTube reducing its content ID appeal process. Down to 7 days from 30. So
does that matter for you guys?
It's a good question. I mean,
does it matter for me? Because whenever I appeal something, it's been pretty quick with the
I do feel like those things are resolved pretty quickly.
That's because you're firm.
Yeah,
stern.
That's because you don't say please.
Yeah. Are we still off because
of happens, though?
Paddington Bear? Are we still off because of Paddington Bear?
I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, I don't know if that got resolved or what. I honestly have not checked back on that episode. That's the thing with podcasts. After like a week and a half, they're kind of history.
Fish wrap.
Yeah. I hate to say podcasts that, you know, deal with news. It's kind of like in the past, and everybody who's going to see it has kind of seen it.
What? What? We have all of our grand performances, our best hits.
There's always a small group of people who like y'all so much that want to hang out with you. They will listen to back episodes.
They will go back in time.
God,
listen to news from 10 years ago. People,
y'all are amazing. And also, we're sorry.
We love you.
Yeah.
But we love you.
At least we continue entertaining you. It's nice to know that we can do that. Let's see here. Google Photos. Oh, so if you ever take screenshots and they end up in your Google Photos photo reel, now Google Photos is going to help you find those. And I guess you can delete them or get rid of them. So you touch and hold the app, then lift your finger. If the app has shortcuts, you'll get a list. Touch and hold the shortcut, slide the shortcut where you want it, lift your finger, and that will have, oh, that has a view screenshots bloop thing. So it's basically on the icon on your home screen. If you touch and hold the icon, you know how you get that little menu that pops up. If you ever use that feature, maybe you don't use that feature. I don't really use it very often, but if you do, you'll be able to jump right to your screenshots. And I suppose that's neat.
Now, next, here's the story of the week.
Here's the story of the week. Chrome OS is now Chrome OS.
Yes.
Branding.
Yeah, they just removed the space. Spaces
are Chrome dead.
And I bet they did not consult Dolly with that. They sat down with another person to discuss that, not an AI.
You wouldn't do Dolly, that's money. Image. You would do GPT-3, because that's words.
Right.
GPT-3.
Yes. I do love playing with, by the way.
See, you're going to like Dolly, too.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say I wouldn't. It's Ant who's... Oh.
Wait a minute, I said what?
Ant who says he hates Dolly.
No, did not.
When are they going to virtualize tech punditries who don't know what they're talking about? We're just going to be.
Oh man, I could see it happening though. Somewhere
like,
down
the line, I have talking about Elon Musk's Twitter bid. I want a woman, two men, and I want it done in the style of Walter Cronkite. Go.
Oh,
done in the style of
love
the
to see
view.
That actually.
Oh gosh, the view.
So it's now Chrome OS, not
Chromos. Chromos.
Chromos. Chromos.
Okay,
it was Chrome OS.
More time than it deserves.
Okay,
move it right.
All right, that's all right. Fine, that's the Google change log. Roll the credits. There we go.
Jason, I had faith that you would keep this show on track, and you are not living up to it.
Fine.
Look, I'm not bad.
Doing the best I can. I feel the pressure to make it longer, but, you know, what can I say?
She's
How about
rate
we get to
you
pick
one waffle?
I understand you want to get to your waffle. I'll get you there.
No, we haven't gone over the 3-hour mark. So I'm still, I mean,
no.
We're at, what,
we're doing
two
good.
And a half? We're
at this point, ago. We're at two. We started 2 hours ago, so we're doing okay.
Yeah, so we're doing okay.
Okay, so is there anything that we've missed before we get into picks, tips, tricks, all that kind of stuff that y'all want to talk about?
Stacey and I are excited about the same story.
Oh, yeah, the same sand battery.
Tell us about it.
I don't know about it. I saw the sand battery and I was excited.
So there's all kinds of efforts to try to store energy, obviously, and ways. My friend Bill Gross from Idea Lab has one we've talked about in the show of moving concrete blocks up and down. You move them up, and then when you want the energy, you move them back down. And the way Bill explains it is that the way this was primarily done was moving water up into reservoirs, and every possible place on Earth, fewer now that we have less water, had been used, so we went to blocks. So now these entrepreneurs... say that sand holds on to heat for an amazingly long time. So they create basically just a silo of sand, and they heat it, and it'll keep it over days. And you'd think, well, that's a lot of energy wasted. You heat up the sand, and then the sand through an exchanger goes reverse. But they say, no, it actually holds on to the heat for quite some time, and
has minimal loss along the way. So I found sand batteries fascinating. That was it.
That is fascinating.
It's an amazing thing.
And we need progression or innovation in the realm of battery technology.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, big time. So it was always right beneath our feet, and we had no idea. Sand battery.
We could watch Emmanuel the Emu on TikTok.
No. Jeez,
no.
Stop.
Excuse me. I did have one, Line 59, a Tesla AI boss. How about that? Is that good
what
news?
What is it? Line 59?
Line 59, Tesla AI boss.
You took us back to Tesla. Okay. All right. Go.
Well, the AI boss was on leave for several months, I believe, but now they have resigned from Tesla because there's been fatalities with the autopilot and so forth. So with this lead gone, is that good news or is that bad news for Tesla?
Bad news for Tesla.
Bad news. That doesn't sound good to me.
No. I mean, they're getting rid of the leadership and ready to bring in someone else. Is this something that Tesla is going to continue to continue to work on going forward, or just let it go and just say, you know what, forget this autopilot stuff because we're not ready for it?
Oh, man. I'd be really surprised if Tesla made that sort of about face on autopilot.
No, they won't. They got so heavily because somebody has an ego at the top of that food chain. So I know that's not happening.
Yeah, yeah.
That that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that other than that. Yeah, that seems like definitely a big reason for things to slow down at the very least. You know, if you don't have the visionary at the top of the chain, it's going to take some time to build the trust around that. And I don't know what that leads to from a productivity standpoint, but yeah.
I wonder how important it is, that feature. I wonder how important it is for people that are potential Tesla buyers. Are people buying Teslas strictly because they want the EV, or are they buying it because they want the status and the bells and whistles? Or, you know, what is their
customer base
like? You know,
Stacey?
Because some people buy Hondas because Hondas is a sensible car and you know, economical from a petroleum standpoint. But then you have people that want to buy the BMW for the status and the Mercedes for the status, even though those are very, very nice cars. And from an engineering standpoint, what is it like for the Tesla crowd? I don't know. I mean, I just see them everywhere over here.
Yeah. And you're going to see more of them. I mean, with all of the energy stuff in flux, I mean, Tesla has been increasing the prices of their vehicles in the past couple of months because demand has been so high. I feel like in a couple of months,
I didn't know that. Wow.
Oh yeah. Could be because of gas.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think it's largely about that. I should also mention that we are on the waiting list. We're waiting for the Tesla Model Y. My wife really wanted to get a Tesla. We got solar on the house. What's that?
My neighbor has a Y.
Yeah, I mean, I actually fit in the Y, which is one thing. I don't fit in a lot of vehicles because I'm so tall, and the Y has the kind of taller cab.
The dome.
So we test drove a lot of electric vehicles, and at the end of the day, it was like, you know what? This fits us better because my wife's also very tall. We got solar on our house about a year ago with the expressed intent of someday getting an electric vehicle. And so before the prices started jumping, we were like, let's just put the order in. We're still having to wait until November, somewhere between November to January. And we put our order in probably 2.5, almost 3 months ago.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but this was a decision you all made because you just wanted something that's more economical, not because of the autopilot potential, right?
Oh yeah, we did not pay extra for the autopilot. If we had paid extra for the autopilot, which I think was another $12,000 in order to get that package, we'd be getting it a lot sooner.
It's $12,000 extra.
They definitely scale who gets what first based on the amount of extras that they're willing to spend. And that's the biggest extra you could get. If you get that, you're probably going to get it. I don't know how it is now, but back when we were ordering, if we had gotten that, we probably would have got it within a couple of months. But instead, we're waiting because we didn't get that. It's kind of like our punishment for not trusting Tesla and their autopilot.
Could you upgrade to that, or that's a capability that's just not there?
That's a good question. I believe that you can upgrade to that, but I could be mistaken on that. I guess I haven't really looked into it too much because I'm just kind of not that interested in it, to be honest. doesn't matter that much to me, the whole self-driving aspect. I don't really care.
Stacey,
for me and for us, it's purely about kind of cost savings, like knowing that we can pull the power from our solar and not have to pay for gas as much as we are right now.
No, I chose a Tesla because I think it's fun to drive.
And it's fun to drive.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it too. Like, you know, my wife has said a number of times in the past couple of months, like, she never in a million years imagined buying a vehicle like a Tesla because it kind of has a flash factor to it and everything. But when she drove one, she was like, you know what? This car drives the way I want a car to drive. And and I'm finally at a point in my life where I can buy a car that I actually really want and kind of spoil myself a little bit. Let's do it. And I was like, all right,
why
let's
not?
Do it.
Sure.
Did you try the other electrics?
Yeah. Drove a few of them. And I just, drove Leo's vehicle. What is that? That is the Mustang, right? The Mach-E.
The Mach-E, yeah.
And that was nice. I definitely fit into it. There was just something about, I don't know, there was something about the experience that it wasn't very tangible, but I was kind of like, between that and the Y, I think that was probably the two that I was considering most from my perspective. And there was just something about the experience and the Y that I enjoyed better. There's something about the styling.
You don't have to answer this either, but did you and your wife have any discussion about, but Elon?
Yeah, you know what? We honestly have not really had much of a discussion about that. I mean, I've tossed that around in my head because I don't know how closely she's necessarily following, you know, the day-to-day machinations of what Elon Musk is doing. I certainly do. And there's a part of me that has kind of negotiated that internally. And at the end of the day, I'm kind of like, you know what? I mean, the company is bigger than just Elon. I actually know some people who have worked at Tesla and who do work at Tesla, and I know they're great people. And so, you know, to an extent, like, am I supporting Elon by getting the vehicle? Sure. But I'm also supporting a lot of really great people as well. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That's how I'm justifying it.
I've sat in the Y and I've also sat in that Mach-E, and in my experience, that Mach-E definitely feels more like a fighter jet cockpit when you sit in it.
Yeah.
And the Y feels more like a sensible car, you know. It was just comfortable, you know.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. There was something about the interior styling of the Mach-E that just didn't work as well for me compared to the Tesla. So,
is the Y the goal, the doors that attacked Lisa?
No. Thankfully.
No.
Our neighbor has the Model X, and we have borrowed it from time to time, and it has the gull wings, and I hate them. I can't stand them. Like, they're so unnecessary and dumb.
Just give me suicide
doors. That's just my opinion. Man.
Give me suicide doors, not those.
Suicide doors?
I don't even know what a suicide door is.
Man, y'all need to look up a 64 Lincoln Continental, or as we used to call it, a Stankin' Lincoln. And it's a four-door car. Yeah, and they open up that way.
Yeah.
They open away from each other.
I have no idea why they were called suicide doors.
Good question. Oh, I don't like that name. But
I want to say Rolls-Royce has suicide doors as well.
I don't think any of us are getting a Rolls anytime soon. So,
no, next year we'll have one.
Okay, well, good for you.
They are called suicide.
Congratulations!
Search.
Yeah, good dream.
Why? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know why, but yeah, one of my favorite cars is a 64 Lincoln Continental. Just a beautiful tank of a car, and then it's got suicide doors on it. A little bit of extra touch on it. Love it.
Wikipedia says they're called that primarily because they are perceived as being less safe than a front hinged door.
I don't know if that's accurate. Interesting. Didn't know
that's
that.
What Wikipedia says. Yeah, and today Wikipedia I learned knows all. There you go.
Yeah, I am.
They were all right, should we do the rear edge? So if the vehicle was moving and they sprang open, anyone who grabbed to stop that happening was whisked out of their seat into the roadway.
Oh boy.
That's wow.
Not good.
Nobody wore seatbelts back then.
Yep. That's true.
Nobody wore seatbelts.
But if someone wanted to give me a 64 Lincoln, I'd take it. A working 64 Lincoln, I'd take it.
Oh, a working, working. You got to be picky.
Yes.
Did sure. you ever read that book I told you to read, Ant, about...
I'm just now about to finish Clara and the Sun.
Don't get cranky about that. It's called Blacktop Wasteland, and it's about a getaway driver. And I swear there's a 64 Lincoln in that book.
Blacktop Wasteland.
All you got to read it, man. Or listen to it.
I will add it to the queue. I will add it to the queue.
It's like Ocean's 11 meets Drive, says the synopsis on Amazon.
Nice. I see
there
that.
There you go.
Okay. There you got go. It.
Thank you.
Right on. Let's do tips, tricks, things, all that stuff. We are at the nearing the end of this episode. Got to keep us on track.
Some tricks at the end of this show. Yeah.
Something along those lines, I suppose. Yep. Jeff, what you got?
What should I do? Oh, geez, going to me first. Oh, no. Okay. I'll,
why not?
just to keep me off my rocker. So Old Country is a novel and a Netflix deal that came out of Reddit, which I think is pretty cool. Matt Query was in r/No Sleep, which were first-person horror stories. Yeah. His thriller, My Wife and I Bought a Ranch, was so engrossing, says the Washington Post, it led to a book deal and a Netflix adaptation. Comes out July 26th. And early reviews are comparing Query's writing alongside his brother, co-writer Harrison Query, to horror masters Stephen King and Paul Tremblay. So
that's great. I love that.
I won't be doing it, but I love that it came out of Reddit. I think that is,
that
is an indication of where we go here, is that these are ideas that couldn't have gone through the gauntlet of publishing houses, which I'm trying to go through right now. And... wouldn't have stood out, or it was just a simple little story or an idea and somebody saw the potential in it. And that kind of finding new talent and collaboration is what excites me most about the internet. So yay to the Query brothers.
That is really cool.
Is
how cool to write something and post it to a Reddit forum and end up with a book deal.
I could have made my thing awesome. Emmanuel the... TikTok emu, but you wouldn't let it.
It's just an emu that tries to steal somebody's. Yes, I've seen it. It's not that funny.
All right. You might also enjoy a history of user interfaces, but I think, don't bother. It's boring.
No, that would be fascinating.
All right. If you insist,
all right.
Basie can blame you for her hunger. So it starts with the Xerox.
Which line
Alto.
Is that on?
It's in my stuff. It's in my things. It's line 165. There we go. You got it. So dive in, which just scrolls up is all it does. Starting with the Alto, it doesn't have CPM. It doesn't have Chrome, but it has Alto, Xerox Star, Lisa.
Cool,
dude!
But you can get the images, which is nice.
This is much better than Emmanuel.
I agree.
This is just, much better.
Emmanuel cool. would irritate you. That's the whole point. Be honest here.
Fair enough.
Windows 1.0, 1985. I was brought along to interview Bill Gates when Windows came out, because the editor of People Magazine, who was going to write the profile of him being one of the 25 most intriguing people, had no idea what computers and laptops and things were. So I had to explain. I had to do like a simultaneous translation between Gates and him at Windows coming out.
Wow.
What it meant. That was it.
This is cool. I love
this. This is awesome.
Very geeky.
It's pretty sweet. Very. That's what I love about it. Right on. Thank you, Jeff. Stacy, what you got?
All right. This isn't out yet, but I've talked to the creator. I think it's really a cool idea. It is Woosh, W-O-O-S-H, Air. There was a Kickstarter, but now it's just, the Woosh system. And so what this guy has done is he's recognized that air filters, you know, the things that you stick in your house when you have an air conditioning thing, the biggest cost associated with them is actually shipping costs, because you have to put it, they're not heavy, but they have to be protected and whatnot.
Yep.
So he was like, why don't we create a filter that is replaceable and can be mailed in like a flat, not a flat pack, but like a puffy pack.
Oh, cool.
A puffy mailer.
No so cardboard that's part box. Of it.
No cardboard box. And so that takes down the cost. Now, what's interesting is once you have a filter that stays, like the filter screen part stays in place, you can add a lot of sensors to it. So they've added an air quality sensor. They've added some pressure sensors for air pressure in your vents, so you can start doing like information about how well your air is moving. And so the guy who did this, his name is Winston Mock. He's a former Googler, and he's trying to work, like their goal is to become a data company, not to make this stuff. But they're working with other companies who you probably have heard of in this space, and with smart like HVAC companies. And the idea is that you can create a smarter HVAC system without putting all your vents, you know how people are doing like vent covers and stuff like that. So I thought this was a really kind of cool idea for a bunch of reasons. One, I've seen people try to attach sensors to air vents, and it sucks because then you throw that away and there's now electronics plus the big bulky air vent thing. So that replaces that. And then you get like good data about like how well your air's performing in your home. So that's it.
Whoosh.
And you don't have to go buy these things. They just ship them to you.
Just show up. Nice.
So that's this is kind of more like, instead of a thing, it's more like a company. Oh, look, they even wrote that I wrote about them.
Ha. May I do an addendum to my earlier? There's a Twitter account at Cats Watch Stray. So if you get into that, folks,
I thought it was going to be that
entire Twitter
again.
Account of that. No, I didn't do it. I listen. It's democracy. I listen to the will of the people. There is, however, the first one in the Twitter account is a dog, but, you know, so much for holding to the concept.
Of course. There's always one messing it up.
Always one dog. Makes it so much cooler than all the cats.
All right.
Right on. Ant, what you got?
For me, my picks are fairly quick. First up, Adobe Max. We've talked about that in the past. The registration is now open. Adobe Max is going to be on October, I believe it's 18th through the 21st. I don't know if I will be there covering it or not. I'd like to be, but we'll see. It's going to be live or virtual, because they had a virtual last year. So they're going to give you a virtual option too if you can't attend. They're still working out all of the speakers, but I believe they got a bunch of them pretty much squared away and just still finalizing a handful left. But go to max.adobe.com and register to hang out at the Creator Conference. I love it. I love being there and seeing the people and learning some things too. Next, we were talking about birthdays and pre-shows, and this is a bit of a shout out to a friend of mine and an actual former Google employee, but she's still back in Charlotte, my friend Tamika. Her son is playing, he plays football, rec league football, little league football, and they did their little fundraiser, and I told her I would mention it on the air because I believe in the little league fundraiser and little league sports, especially in the Black community, because it gives a lot of kids some guidance and some leadership and sometimes a little kick in the butt that they may need that they're not getting at home. So I will always advocate for that. They've already met their goal, but you can still donate to it, buying a bag of popcorn or something like that. The popcorn people get half of the funds and the football team gets the other half. And it's good because they can use the support. I've worked on these little league teams before and I know how difficult it can be, because a lot of times what you end up doing is helping to provide a spot for a kid that their parents couldn't afford to be on the team. You know, my kids, they both played rec ball, didn't have a problem getting them on, but there was a couple times where I had to come out of my pocket to help pay for another kid to be able to play that I know wanted to play and was a good kid. And it's just unfortunate his parents couldn't afford it. And fundraisers like this help keep the coaches from coming out of their pockets like that, and plus help provide some decent equipment and things like that. So link will be in the show notes. And happy birthday, Tamika. And lastly, just follow me on Instagram, @_Pruitt. I've been having fun playing with Instagram, playing around with the whole video versus photography thing on there. And that algorithm has been quite fascinating, quite fascinating.
You have a new headshot, too. Did you take that of yourself?
Yeah, that's good. I liked that.
Yes, sir, I did. I was like, right, I need a new headshot. And I've just been lazy with getting it done, and I finally shot it and put it out there. It just needed really to be good. Updated. Thank you.
Yeah. Looks sharp. And you did that all by yourself. You didn't need a camera person to come in. How do you strike that, like, authentic, like, spur of the moment, like, you know what I mean? Sometimes it requires the camera person to kind of like pull you out of your own head.
I just sit there and hit the button and say, all right, okay, does this look okay? And I have my camera tethered to the computer so I could see what the camera's going to produce. And, yeah, you know, so I'll take right probably on. 20 shots or so, and then I'll stop.
And then you'll run it through Dolly and say, give me the perfect version of this shot.
And it will return, it already is, sir.
Yeah. I can do nothing more. You nailed it, and threw it. You win.
Meanwhile, mine will be, Stacy, pick a better shot. Thanks, Dolly.
Oh, my pick is it's just something that I thought was kind of cool. Apparently, there's a Lego kit for the Atari 2600 console. I guess, what is it? It's the 1977 debut. So this is the 1980 revision of the console that comes with just shy of 2,600 pieces. It's 2,532 pieces.
Oh, really? Come on.
I feel like they could have, like, yeah, I feel like they could have boosted that somehow. That would have been perfect. But anyways, it's kind of cool looking.
Minds around, they could have come up with that math, man.
I mean, they were that close. They could have done something, let's be honest. But it's going to be available August 1st, $240. So a little pricey, but very cool for the video game nerds out there. And actually on the inside, it's like, it's not a fully functional console or anything to my knowledge anyways. But if you open it up on the inside, it's a recreation of like a 1980s living room. So I don't know. It's super nerdy, but I love it. Has a couple of cartridges that you can put into it and everything. It fits the cartridges.
Wait, does the living room have the faux wood paneling? Tell me.
It has to.
Yeah, right? It looks like it has wood paneling to me. I mean, it's they're brown Lego pieces, so yeah. It looks like it has someone playing a keytar and a CRT monitor and a boombox and, you know, all the things.
Wow. Oh, yeah, there's a little phone that's apparently, I guess that's how big phones were. It looks a little big, but I'm like, no, actually, I guess.
No, they were pretty gigantic.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty large phone. Yeah, that's a pretty large one. And actually, the joystick that you build as well actually moves, so it's not static. Like, you can actually move around the joystick and stuff. So,
is it a dynamic joystick?
Wow.
I mean, it moves. I don't know if it does much more than that, but it's still pretty awesome. I love it.
Hey, kids.
What's that? What is that? Fancy phone, I don't understand. Sir. What is that, Jeff?
That thing's fancy.
It has the little cordy cord.
He's talking
cord.
PBX, too.
From the museum.
Wow. Somewhere a number of years ago, we got... acquired a phone that looks a lot like that, and it became like a toy for the kids, like for them to pretend. that's what those old phones are good for now. They're good for being toys.
That's a thrift store pretend office. Right there, sir.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. That's it. We've reached the end of this episode of This
Good
Week.
Job, Google, boss.
Always Always so much fun hanging out with you.
Brought
three.
Us through. Thank
nice
you so
work,
much.
Sir. Nice work.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun. Stacy, what do you want to leave people with? Where can people find what you're doing? What do you want them to know?
You can find everything at stacyonIoT.com. And, you know, download the podcast if you're into the IoT and sign up for the newsletter. It's free.
Do it. Do it, everybody. Good to see you, Stacy. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah. And what about you, Jeff? Where do you want to direct everyone?
Once I get a pub date, I'll be plugging the book every week, but not until then. So you're safe until then.
All right. We'll be on the lookout waiting for that. And finally, we should say buzzmachine.com if people really want to find you.
Yeah, well, yes.
You can do that. There you go. And then Ann Pruitt, what do you want to leave people with? What you got in the works?
Hey, hands-on photography this week. A bit of a different episode coming up. Going to talk about some of your photography imperfections, if you will. And it's going to be fun. So make sure you're tuned in Thursday. It'll drop, so twit.tv/HOP. And also be sure to go and check out some prints, antpruitt.com/prints.
Indeed. Definitely check that out. Thank you so much, Ant. Always a good time hanging out with you on this show.
Thank
all
you,
three
sir.
Of you. I really enjoy filling in for Leo when he's out on this show.
We so enjoy having you.
Yeah,
thanks
we
for
do.
Letting me drop in and crash the party. You can find me at Jason Howell on Twitter if you want to find me there. Also doing Tech News Weekly every Thursday. So tomorrow with Micah Sargent, it's an interview based show, and we have a lot of fun with that. And then finally, All About Android every Tuesday, twit.tv/AAA. Actually, this upcoming All About Android, we have Florence Ion coming on, and we're going to have some full-on, hands-on reviews of some devices that you're going to want to check out. I'm not going to spoil the ending, but a lot of hands-on reviews. So check it out this upcoming Tuesday. Flo's going to have some reviews in tow. We do this show, or Leo and the gang usually anyways, does this show every Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 2100 UTC. I think that comes out about right. At least that's what's on the website. If you go to twit.tv/TWIG, you can find all the details that you need to know to subscribe to the show in audio and video formats. And also don't forget, we've got Club Twit, twit.tv/Club Twit. That's our subscription ad-free service for all of our shows. No ads. You also get access to our members-only Discord and Twit Plus content like the book club with Stacy and Ant and so much more. I mean, Ant's just killing it with coordinating cool content for everybody that's a member of the club and more
I
to
attempt.
Come. So
I
no,
attempt,
you're doing
I'll
a great job. I love it. You're keeping the energy high and that's exactly what it needs. So that's twit.tv/Club Twit. But that is it for this week's episode of This Week in Google. Thank you everybody for watching and listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Bye, everybody.
Hey, I'm Rod Pyle, editor of Ad Astra magazine, and each week I'm joined by Tarek Malik, the editor-in-chief over at space.com, in our new This Week in Space podcast. Every Friday, Tarek and I take a deep dive into the stories that define the new space age. What's NASA up to? When will Americans once again set foot on the moon? And how about those samples from the Perseverance rover? When are those coming home? What the heck has Elon Musk done now? In addition to all the latest and greatest in space exploration, we'll take an occasional look at bits of spaceflight history that you probably never heard of, and all with an eye towards having a good time along the way. Check us out in your favorite podcatcher.